920 WGNU, we have 40 degrees under very clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 38. Stay tuned. It's time for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Coming up Wednesday on the wake-up call, we follow the paper trail of Tom DeLay. Imagine that, the House Majority Leader indicted for violating campaign finance laws, charged with funneling nearly $200,000 under the table. Big money from big companies like Sears Roebuck, Bacardi, and Diversified Collection Services. You'll find out what 527s are and how DeLay used them like his own personal play toy as we follow the Tom DeLay Money Trail Wednesday morning at 8 here on the Wake Up Call.
Congratulations! You found Radio Free St. Louis online at WGNU.net. Remember, we're also at 920 on your AM dial in the St. Louis metropolitan area.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
As the new school year begins, AAA reminds motorists to remember the ABCs of auto safety in its Schools Open, Drive Carefully campaign. A great burden is on the motorists to take extra precautions when driving in areas with school-age children. AAA offers these safety reminders for motorists. Watch for reduced speed limit signs in school zones that become effective when classes are in session. Remember the law about stopping before passing or overtaking a school bus stopped to pick up or discharge children. Watch out for youngsters riding bicycles who may appear suddenly from a blind spot. Help your child map out his or her safest way to school, and remember that traffic hazards near schools multiply when children are dropped off and picked up in family cars. Remember that school traffic controls are operating now that school has restarted, and anticipate the actions of youngsters and be ready for anything by reducing speed in areas where children are present. These reminders are brought to you by AAA.
Since 1977, Home Services, Inc. has helped St. Louis's disabled and elderly residents stay in their own homes longer. From repairing and modifying homes in the area to keeping neighborhoods safe, Home Services, Inc. has been there for thousands. If you or someone you know needs accessibility, safety, or weatherization improvements to their home, call 314-531-9779. If you would like to make a financial contribution to this nonprofit organization, send it to Home Services, Inc., 3755 Forest Park Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108.
Right now, the sun is shining, but people are crying. This is Aaron Neville speaking for the American Red Cross. When a hurricane like Katrina passes, it leaves behind massive devastation. Just because the weather map shows a storm is over, doesn't mean it's over. People have lost their homes, lost their families. People were glued to their TVs. Where will it hit? Where will it hit? It's still hitting. For some people, Hurricane Katrina could last for the rest of their lives. This is a country that comes together in times of need. Do whatever you can. Please help these people put their lives back together. Call 1-800-HELP now or go to redcross.org and click donate now. If it takes a while, keep trying. Please help the devastated victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters each year. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-HELP now. Right now the sun is shining, but the work has just begun. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Cut your gas costs in half. Team up to share the ride to work in a carpool or vanpool.
Thousands of St. Louis area commuters have discovered how ride sharing with ride finders can combat the sting of rising gas prices, and you can too. Ride finders offers an exclusive computerized ride matching service free of charge, so sign up today and begin easing the strain that record gas prices are putting on your wallet. For a list of potential carpool or vanpool partners from ride finders free ride matching service, log on to www.ridefinders.org or call toll free 800-VIP-RIDE.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't know why George W. Bush would be talking about.
That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
AM 920, WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this sound? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this sound?
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I remember saying that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
welcome, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll free, long distance me, and you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920. WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff. So much stuff to talk about. I think that for those of you that didn't know, last night we did kind of a duo broadcast. Irene J. Smith was in the studio, and I was at the execution site of Marlon Gray. We were there at about 6 after, 7 after midnight when we got the call that Marlon Gray was executed. And I dare say that people that were there were just profoundly touched, and I think that there was just kind of a sense amongst some of utter helplessness. Of fury. I listened to the comments coming from the Board of Probation and Parole, where they voted not to give clemency to Marlon Gray. I think about the arguments that are made, have been made, to put hookups and family members on different boards, because how it works out well for us. And it didn't in this case. And I don't know how individuals voted. I don't know how Rodney Hubbard's mother voted with regard to the clemency of Marlon Gray. It would be nice to know. But I do know that there weren't any efforts from Rodney Hubbard to articulate the opposition to this, to stand up to Matt Blunt and take a position on this. I look at the actions of Matt Blunt. I suspect that he is going to attempt to ride the same um, gravy train, the same death train to hop up on the back, or to stand grinning at, to stand grinning at swinging by, the same type of energy, the same type of mindset of the folks that stood grinning at bodies, dead African bodies hanging from trees. I can't help but think of those pictures of smiling faces, smiling white faces, while dead black bodies are swinging from trees. And when I think of that, I think of J. Nixon. And I think of Matt Blunt. And I think of those who hope to gain, much like the merchants that cut off pieces of dead black bodies and put them in jars, formaldehyde in their stores, hoping to gain an advantage from a dead black body. I can't help but think of those images. They could have granted a stay. They could have granted a stay. And they chose not to. There needs to be a political strategy to punish both Matt Blunt and J. Nixon. There needs to be a political strategy to do that. 454-0400 is my phone number. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Lois, good morning.
Hello, Liz. My name is Lois. I'm giving you my real name. I live in East St. Louis. I'm a former teacher. And I want to tell you that I just want to commend you for all the things that you have ever tried to do concerning people, period. I'm not going to go reflecting on your issue because that's beside the point. You are doing a wonderful job because you are a lawyer and you have tried, you know? And I just want to just commend you. I went to bed yesterday because I had a sore throat for a week, and I heard more on Sunday on another station, Sunday morning. You know what I'm talking about. And I missed him on your station. I heard your show last night. I just poured up. I called different people and told them. I even called my cousins and my brothers up. And I said, look, you listen to Liz tonight. And I got back up. My throat was hurting like mad because I wanted to know what was going to happen because I don't think anyone knew. And to make a long story short, I think of this song when I was a teenager. And that song, I'm older than you, but that song, A Town Without Pity. Remember that song, or do you ever know it?
No, I don't know.
But it was a movie, you know, and it comes on TV every once in a while, you know, Town Without Pity, but it was sung by Gene Pitney, and it's got one line, and it says, it isn't very pretty what a town without pity can do. You ever heard that song?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty, and it's because it's a true song, you know, the words are so beautiful, but I just want to tell you, you have trained, you know, I could tell in your voice today, I'm sick, last night when I got back up, because I didn't listen to the news. I didn't want to. I wanted to hear you. And what I did, I turned everything off. And then I set my timer, my stove, to 12 o'clock, Liz. So I could hear Y-O-U. Now, you might think I'm just saying it, but I did. And today, I got up. I woke up automatically.
I appreciate
that. Because, you know, like I said, you have tried, you and other people, but you try, you listen to everybody, you listen to, you know, some people come up with a whole lot, it's the principle of the thing, that's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. I believe him, okay?
I believe
Warren. Now, I wasn't there, I'm not even going over all that, but my brother said if he's innocent, we don't have anything to worry about. That if Warren is innocent, okay, that's between him and you know who else. Because you have tried, well, other people tried, well, Clay.
You know what Marlon said? Don't, just because, you know, they've killed me, don't let this issue die.
Right.
And I think that is so important, because the fact of the matter is that they did execute an innocent man.
I believe you did.
And they executed an innocent man, and it is incumbent upon all of us to fight this, and to continue to fight this, and to continue to fight those who would do this in our names.
Correct.
I want to thank you,
and I want to thank you, and you keep up the good work.
All right,
thank you very much, Liz.
Take care of yourself. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My name is Liz Brown. If my voice sounds a little funny this morning, or a little groggy this morning, I didn't get back to my home until 2:30 last night. So stay with me and work with me as we get through this hour, to give you the information really that you can't get anywhere else. Marlon Gray wrote some songs, played some songs, has left us with some of his music. Megan, one of the young people that attended the killing last night. She left us a tape, the cassette tape, with some music on it, well, we're going to play up, we're going to share some of that music with you, Marlon Gray, and we're going to do that on this break. Stay with me.
You found someone to help me release. I used to see you at Rose, yeah, not anymore. The love I have for you is not to see, and I'm sending you a black rose, and you know I'm missing.
Cut your gas costs in half. Team up to share the ride to work in a carpool or vanpool. Thousands of St. Louis area commuters have discovered how ride sharing with Ride Finders can combat the sting of rising gas prices, and you can too. Ride Finders offers an exclusive computerized ride matching service that matches commuters throughout the region who share similar workday commutes, so they can contact one another to share the ride in a carpool or vanpool. The ride matching service is provided by Ride Finders free of charge and is available online at ridefinders.org or toll free at 800-VIP-RIDE. The higher gas prices get, the more savings you'll see. Add more passengers to your carpool and save even more. Call Ride Finders today at 800-VIP-RIDE and ease the strain that record gas prices are putting on your wallet. That's 800-VIP-RIDE.
Good morning, St. Louis. 34 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the city of Belleville, Illinois. Eastbound 40 at the last Kingsbury exit, the bridge has maintenance operations and the ramp is closed. You can use 11th or 14th Street to get around that area. Northbound 55 between 141 and Merrimack Bottom, look for dense fog. Eastbound 40 between Boone's Crossing and 270, everything's running smoothly. Westbound 270 from West Florissant all the way to Riverview, no problems to report. Northbound 270 at 44 and Big Bend, you have slow traffic going on there. Westbound 255 from Coke to 55, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79, look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 to Poplar Street Bridge, that traffic is building. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge, look for normal traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Cleves Landing, everything's on the move. And northbound Route 3 from the Poplar onto the Poplar Street Bridge, that ramp is moving well. Eastbound Earth City Expressway at Lakefront, there's an injury accident. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the City of Belleville. It's the Downtown Belleville Family Trick or Treat, Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Costume kids receive treats from downtown businesses. More info at BellevilleMainStreet.net. Belleville holidays you'll remember. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday for today, or for today, tomorrow, and Friday, I'm sorry. For today, sunny skies, a high around 60 this evening, partly cloudy with a low around 44. Thursday, partly sunny, the high around 60. Thursday evening, look for clearing skies with a low around 40. And Friday, mostly sunny skies with a high around the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 40 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 38 under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Influenza can be a serious disease, especially if you're at high risk.
Are you talking to me?
If you have asthma, diabetes, or any other chronic medical condition, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're pregnant during influenza season, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're 50 or older, yes. If your child is between 6 and 23 months, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you live or work with anyone in these high-risk groups, yes. Prevent influenza. Get immunized. Some people don't think influenza is serious, but they're wrong. Dead wrong. This year's influenza virus will kill as many as 36,000 people. Influenza is that serious. We are too.
Are you talking to me?
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 Yes, we're talking to you. Influenza vaccine is available in a variety of places. Contact your healthcare provider to learn more. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and this station.
Congratulations! You found Radio Free St. Louis online at WGNU.net. Remember, we're also at 920 on your AM dial in the St. Louis metropolitan area.
Did you know that you can have the leaf blocker gutter protection system installed by United Homecraft and eliminate gutter cleaning forever? In fact, they guarantee it. The best part is leaf blocker installs over your existing gutters. If your gutters are damaged and need to be replaced, United Homecraft can do that too. With one phone call, you can stay off that dangerous ladder, stop cleaning the mess from your gutters, and start enjoying yourself this fall. The leaf blocker system will also keep you from spending thousands of dollars in repairs to your home from water damage. Call United Homecraft today for a free no-obligation estimate and save 15% during their preseason sale. From Missouri or Illinois, call 1-888-731-2052. That's 1-888-731-2052. The Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System from United Homecraft, one of St. Louis's oldest and largest contractors. United Homecraft is a participating member of the ITEX Trade Exchange. Your ITEX trade dollars are welcome.
Wake Up Call Family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back. This is Liz Brown, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call. The number here is 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. And the music that you've heard on the in and the out, the bumper music this morning, comes from compositions of Marlon Gray and sung by Marlon Gray, recorded while he was on death row. And I just have to underscore, share with you the word, in case you didn't catch the words. I'm sending you a black rose so that you will cry. And sending you a black rose so that you know I'm about to die. Imagine being forced to discuss your mortality and face your mortality for a crime that you did not commit. Imagine. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Car phone. You're on the Wake Up Call. Car phone.
This morning, I was wondering if you get it.
Start over again, please.
I said I left you a message this morning with the radio. You had it taking care of the phones.
I did not get the message, no.
Okay.
About the Kim Tucci connection.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. I don't know that. How do you know that?
I was told that years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Those were his nieces.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
All right, thanks. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Reverend Williams, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes, good morning.
First of all, I want to thank you and your listeners for all their effort. For those all around the world who have put out great effort for Marlon's cause, I am calling you this morning with our family's official statement. Okay?
Go right ahead.
This is the official statement from the family of Marlon Gray. It is neither ironic or surprising that Governor Matt Blunt has called for the state's flags to be flown at half-mast in honor of the mother of civil rights, while allowing the civil rights of Marlon Gray to be sold for a tune of $150,000 or so. We say this, that is not ironic or surprising, because the Bible says, you shall know a tree by the fruit that it bears. So the governor makes this gesture to appear that he cares about the rights of others. It is our family's deepest cries of mercy to God for the souls of the children and to the third and fourth generation, for the curse that has been placed on their head by their fathers. For all of those who saw the injustice here and turned their heads. For I am reminded in the Bible that when Pilate asked, would they have Barabbas or Jesus? The people said, Barabbas, kill Jesus. And he said, well, the blood will be on your heads, they said, and on our children's head. As for Jeremiah, the weeping prophet who is not lamenting for Marlon today, we pray for his family. And we say, as for the Carey family, our heart goes out to them because they have to live with the abomination of Thomas Cummins' incestuous lust that caused now the death of three innocent lives. This is our statement.
Reverend Mark Williams, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Incestuous lust that killed three people. We'll be back.
Update. Dateline, Washington. Republicans have begun the assault on social programs. 16 committees started working yesterday on a massive bill that will slash a number of social programs. Everything from trade to drug reimbursements and agriculture supports. Back in the spring, Congress approved a budget blueprint designed to save $35 billion over the next 5 years. But now the House leaders want to increase those cuts by another $15 billion. Some programs that may get hit with the budget acts, limiting federal payments to foster care families, cutting welfare payments to disabled people, and taking the tariff money collected on imports that harm companies away from those companies and putting it in the pocket of Uncle Sam. In addition, lawmakers want to cut child support payments to single mothers trying to provide for their children and cut $3 billion out of the program that pays for Medicaid prescription drugs and another $6 billion from the overall Medicaid program by making eligible children have to pay premiums and co-payments. Having told you all this, you should also know that last night President Bush held a $15,000 a couple fundraiser for the 30th anniversary of the Republican Eagles. The group took in over $1 million as the gathering dined on filet mignon, plus they all got a free paperweight. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Influenza is a serious disease.
Are you talking to me?
If you have asthma, diabetes, or other chronic medical conditions, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're 50 or older, yes. If your child is between 6 and 23 months, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you live or work with those at high risk, yes. Influenza will kill as many as 36,000 people this year. It's that serious. Prevent influenza. Get immunized. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases.
Thursday morning at 7, our wake-up call guest will be Larry Johnson, former CIA intelligence officer and co-worker of Valerie Plame, whose outing by someone in the Bush administration threatens to shake the White House to the core. He recently had some harsh words about the president's handling of the entire matter.
We must put to bed the lie that she was not undercover. If she had not been undercover, then the CIA would not have referred the matter to the Justice Department. The president has flip-flopped on his promise to fire anyone at the White House implicated in a leak.
Don't miss Larry Johnson on The Wake-Up Call Thursday morning at 7.
When things are at their worst, they're at their best. They are the first in and the last to leave. The American Red Cross is responding to the devastation of Hurricane Katrina with food, shelter, and water. They bring hope, too. But you know how the American Red Cross will respond. How will you? Help victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Coming up Wednesday on the Wake Up Call, we follow the paper trail of Tom DeLay. Imagine that, the House Majority Leader indicted for violating campaign finance laws, charged with funneling nearly $200,000 under the table. Big money from big companies like Sears Roebuck, Bacardi, and Diversified Collection Services. You'll find out what 527s are and how DeLay used them like his own personal play toy as we follow the Tom DeLay Money Trail Wednesday morning at 8 here on the Wake Up Call. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. The voice that you're hearing is the voice of Marlon Gray. And songs that he wrote, songs that he sang, songs that he recorded on death row. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Oh, good morning, Liz. Yes. I'm sorry to hear about Rosa Parks dying. I compared her to Dorothy Hyde. These are two strong black women that stood up for humanity. I remember Rosa Parks when she came here in 1985 at the Martin Luther King birthday celebration, and I met her. So she will be missed.
Okay.
Thank you.
454-0400. I have to go with Marlon Gray's family. It's amazing that Rosa Parks dies and Matt Blunt lowers the flags to half mast, as if to say that he is in support of what Rosa Parks and others did. Rosa Parks went around the state as a young woman in the 50s and in the 40s, state of Alabama, getting written testimony from African women that had been raped by white men. Matt Blunt would be the last person to advocate or support that. Rosa Parks stood up, and many others said that they weren't going to follow a racist law. And please promise me that you will never call them segregation laws again. That's like saying Ted Bundy is cute. It's a foul. You can't put a nice spin on something that is murderous and foul. It wasn't segregation laws. They were racist acts against people of African descent. This ain't about segregation. This is about the definition of racism. And so when you just kind of absorb the message from the passing of Rosa Parks about her fighting against these racist racist acts, crimes against people of African descent, words that are laws that say that you have to, a African woman has to stand up and give a white man her seat because a white man's life has more value than a woman of African descent, that an African man has to stand up and get to the back of the bus if any white person gets on the bus. Marlon Gray is dead because of the legacy of those same laws. He is dead. He was killed by our government. He is dead because we had a racist white prosecutor. We had jurors that allowed themselves to be bent by the will of a racist prosecutor. And we have a racist governor and a racist attorney general that are both attempting to cut their teeth and craft their careers by climbing onto the backs of dead African people, committing crimes against them to do so. Jay Nixon thinks that black people aren't going to vote for Matt Blunt. He's going to be able to get into the governor's mansion. There are other things that black people can do besides voting for you and besides voting for Matt Blunt. I assure you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance number is 454-1817-977-920-WGNU. Get to me.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right. We're talking about a monster sale. I'm talking M-O-N-S-T-E-R sale. 12% off of already reduced prices. Scratched and dented floor models, 20% cash back when you buy three appliances of $399 or more, 10% off with your Sears card, a monster sale on lawnmowers, a monster sale on, treadmills, a monster sale on tool chests, a monster sale on all kinds of wonderful items. You need to go on down to Sears right there at Union and Natural Bridge. Black owned, black operated, a monster sale this weekend. You need to get to it. Starts October 28th and ends October 29th. There's no time to waste. You don't need Halloween. Get to the monster sale at Sears. And when you get there, tell them I told you to. Get your shop on. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning, Korean veteran.
Ms. Brown, with the passing of Rosa Parks, and in all my life, I'm a senior citizen, and I've lived, and I want you to know about yourself. You are the embodiment of all the Rosa Parks and all the other black heroines in our race and everything.
Well,
I just want you to know that when you were born for this time. I just want to say this, too, also. It was heart-wrenching. I listened last night, and I listened to the statements made. That was a high-tech lynching for this young man, Marlon Gray.
Mm.
And I say this myself. I'm going to say it. I've lived and almost ready to leave here. America is racist from the beginning until the end. And I'm going to tell young people, when it comes to politics, when it comes to economics, fine. But when it comes to that social thing around these other women, and other white women, in other words, you better watch your step, because justice is not equal. We are expendable. And that's my feeling.
Thank
and
you.
And I'll take it to my grave.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, Dee. Good morning.
Oh, hi, Liz. This is why it was so important to get people like Gerald Christmas, Claire McCaskill, and these people in office. I mean... Hello. You know...
And I got to go, Dolores. You're right. You're right. Thanks for your call. We'll be back with the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
In Florida, where hurricane victims have been waiting in long lines for many hours for supplies, ABC's David Muir is at the Orange Bowl in Miami.
Deirdre, the basic necessities have become precious commodities here. The water, the ice, the gasoline, very hard to come by. That's why we saw long lines, those aerials from television and news helicopters yesterday. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see the very same images again today. People just trying to get their hands on ice to keep what food they have cold. Water, because in many neighborhoods in South Florida, there is no running water. And, of course, the power is out. Deirdre?
Thousands of tourists are still stuck in Cancun. Many have been stranded in shelters for nearly a week as a result of Hurricane Wilma. And Marianne Solowski described her shelter after arriving home in St. Louis.
27 people in a room. You cannot leave the room during... It's all boarded up. Uh-huh. And then, additionally, it wasn't in the best part of town, uh-huh. and they started to loot.
Some people said to be sleeping in the street outside the damaged airport in Cancun as they wait for a flight out. The number of U.S. troops killed in Iraq has reached the 2,000 mark. Cindy Sheehan and other anti-war protesters will be staging symbolic deaths outside the White House for the next few days. The grand jury examining the leak of a CIA agent's name is expected to finish up this week. There's speculation Vice President Cheney's chief of staff, Scooter Libby, or President Bush's deputy chief of staff, Karl Rove, could be indicted.
There are signs that the prosecutor has been trying to tie up loose ends in some ways. There are reports that he's been interviewing a former colleague of Karl Rove at the White House to try and nail down any more information about Rove's contacts with reporters in the days leading up to the leak. They've also apparently been interviewing Valerie Plame's neighbors to find out whether they knew before the press leak that she worked for the CIA, and apparently they didn't.
ABC's Liz Marlantes. The Chicago White Sox now lead Houston 3-0 in the World Series. This is ABC News.
In heating, one thing stands alone.
That would be me, your Carrier furnace.
A Carrier Infinity furnace is the most energy efficient you can buy and can save up to 40% on energy bills versus previous models. Now that's hardworking.
Unlike your alarm clock, how hardworking could anything be with a snooze button?
Whether it's saving up to $1,100 with cool cash, our special financing, or saving on energy bills, the Infinity furnace is one hard worker. Carrier, turn to the experts. Limited time offer. Restrictions apply. See participating dealer for details.
This Walmart opening has made a difference to a lot of people because this was a community that did need jobs.
When you lose your job, you're lost.
Walmart provided 450 jobs.
I think we really changed some lives when we opened this store.
And I'm glad to see that it happened here in Gastonia.
Now that we've built this place from the ground up, it's much closer to our hearts.
It gives us a real good sense of the future. Walmart will be there.
This is the store we needed as much as it needed us.
ABC News has discovered a connection between the United Nations and a number of unsolved rapes around the world. ABC's chief investigative correspondent Brian Ross reports.
An ABC News investigation has found there's a group of men almost never prosecuted for rape or sex with underage girls. The men of the United Nations peacekeeping forces. Thousands of young girls in the Congo and elsewhere have been forced into what Anika von Wurttemberg of Human Rights Watch calls survival sex.
They have traded bread for sex or a jar of peanut butter for sex.
But UN rules against it are rarely enforced, even when the cases involve grotesque pornography and rape, and victims as young as 12.
There is almost no peacekeeper who has been held accountable and who's had to face the courts.
I'm Brian Ross, ABC News.
Infinity Broadcasting is turning to a former rocker and two comedians to replace departing shock jock Howard Stern. David Lee Roth, along with Adam Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel, will take over in January. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
Thank you.
Reporting WGNU News, I'm Peyton Colston. This report brought to you by Ashley Furniture Home Stores. Topping the news this morning, the state of Missouri has carried out its fifth execution of the year. Marlon Gray was executed by lethal injection just after midnight at the prison in Bon Terre. Gray was put to death for his role in the 1991 killings of Julie and Robin Carey at the old Chain of Rocks Bridge in St. Louis. While his attorney and supporters maintained his innocence, Governor Matt Blunt and the U.S. Supreme Court both declined to halt the execution. Gray refused both a last meal and a sedative. In other news, a North Carolina man faces life in prison for the murder of his brother-in-law. A St. Louis County jury yesterday found 56-year-old Dennis Irby guilty of first-degree murder and armed criminal action in the 2002 killing of Jeffrey Sexton of DePere. Irby's first trial ended with a hung jury earlier this year. St. Louis County Prosecutor Bob McCulloch is pleased to have a verdict this time.
It's been a long time in coming, trying to get all these cases to trial, and disappointed, of course, that there was an acquittal in one case, but I think overall, you know, justice has been served in this case.
Irby, his father-in-law Ervil Hoover, and brother-in-law Robert Hoover were accused of conspiring to kill Sexton because he was abusing his wife. Ervil Hoover is serving a 10-year prison sentence after being convicted of second-degree murder in July. Robert Hoover was acquitted on all charges last December. Irby will be sentenced on December 9th. And officials at the President Casino are considering legal action after learning that the impending sale of the casino will not go forward as planned. John Sloan, a spokesperson for the Riverboat Casino, says Kentucky-based Columbia Sussex yesterday withdrew its application for licensure with the Missouri Gaming Commission. Sloan says there's no word on what will happen next, but in the meantime, it will be business as usual at the casino. Columbia Sussex submitted the winning bid of $57 million for the President Casino at an October 2004 bankruptcy auction. No official reason for the pullout's been given, but in the notification, Sussex cited its belief that any further efforts to obtain a license would be, quote, futile, end quote. And that's a check of WGNU News, brought to you by Ashley Furniture Home Stores. The Ashley Furniture Home Store means big savings for you, like no interest and no payments for 1 year. Ashley Furniture Home Store, in Kirkwood and South County. I'm Peyton Colston, WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Moore with the Sour Traffic Weather. The Sour Traffic is sponsored by Gold's GM. Eastbound 70 at Goodfellow is closed due to an accident and traffic jams at Bermuda. Westbound 70 at Goodfellow, the left lane is closed due to an eastbound accident. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, look for road maintenance operations having ramp closed. You can use 11th Street or 14th Street ramp to get around that area. Eastbound 44 from Antire at Merrimack River Bridge, look for normal traffic. Northbound 55 at 141 at Merrimack Bottom, look for dense fog. Eastbound 40 at Mason, look for that traffic to be building this hour. Eastbound 70 between 370 and the Blanchett Bridge, everything's on the move. Westbound 270 from West Florissant all the way into Washington Elizabeth, look for slow traffic going on there. Northbound 270 between 55 and 44, look for stop and go traffic. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to 55, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79, it is slow go there. Southbound 55 between 4500 South Broadway and Loughborough, look for paving operations. Two right lanes are blocked. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, look for very heavy volume going on there. Westbound 5570 split from the 3rd Street onto the PSB, it is slow. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, expect normal traffic there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way to Laclede's Landing looks good this morning. And northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems to report there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Gold's Gym. Gold's Gym, the leader in fitness for 40 years, is celebrating with no dues until 2006. But hurry, this offer ends October 27th. Call 1-800-99-GOLDS or visit goldsgym.com today for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Partly sunny skies today to sunny skies with a high around 60 this evening. Partly cloudy with a low around 40. Thursday, partly sunny once again with a high around 60. Thursday evening, look for clearing skies with a low around 40. And then on Friday, mostly sunny skies with a high almost to 65. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 39 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 36 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next at St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me understand. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me understand. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember this?
I remember saying that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal citizenship.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs, St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Liz.
Let's start with... I want to say this. I have been very troubled from the very beginning of the selection of Craig Williams as superintendent. I've been troubled by the size, the extraordinary size of his salary, $300,000. No other superintendent in the state gets paid that. I submit that most superintendents across the country, when you do a salary search, do not get paid that. And his salary is made even more troubling in light of the fact that he has never been a superintendent anywhere in the world. That we would pay that much money for someone who obviously has no experience in running a district. It's been said that he has taken his test and he has passed his test, and I'd like to see the test graded. But be that as it may, you still cannot discount the importance and the significance of competence and experience.
And I think one of the ways that you can evaluate someone's competence and someone's judgment and someone's ability to do a job are the decisions that they make within the job. That's fair. Don't you think that's fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think that's fair game. There was a decision made by Craig Williams that just underscores what we're going to have to go through as a district under his leadership and underscores that he has no experience in running a district because he was planning to do this. Talk about the this that I'm referring to, Peter.
All right. The this that you're referring to is a plan to transfer an unknown number of teachers, for 100 or more. I think it's unknown. But
transfer them, what, next year?
No, transfer them next week, more than halfway through the first semester of the school year. After grades and report cards
have come out
for the first half of the semester, transfer teachers from one school to another. There are 23 middle school teachers who are going to be transferred. I said an unknown number of teachers total, but they range from preschool teachers all the way up through high school.
So let me, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm trying to paint the picture and give up the audience a feel for this. So, for instance, a high school senior that is fixing to graduate needs a certain amount of credits, close to the line, trying to make sure that they get all their credits and started a course this semester. And that course was worth 3 credits or 1 credit. Let's just even say 1 credit. Are you saying that Craig Williams put together a plan to move the teacher from that classroom with all of those students in there and stop that class in the middle of the flow and move those kids and those teachers everywhere, and that student wouldn't have gotten his credit? Is that the plan?
That was part of the plan. Yeah. I don't know who put the plan together, as you phrase it. Craig is in charge of the whole ball of wax.
Buck stops at the top.
The buck stops there. Exactly what you said.
You know, I mean, I guarantee you, Peter, I guarantee you, I will give you everything that I own, that if Cleveland Hammonds, somebody underneath Cleveland Hammonds, had put together this plan, advocated this plan, this plan would have Cleveland Hammonds' name on it, as it should, because it's a plan impacting the entire district. So this is Craig Williams.
Yeah, it was a plan from downtown, definitely.
Okay.
And Craig Williams, and it was done under the overall theories, notions that Craig Williams has been advocating. That the plan was advocated as classroom balancing
in the middle of a semester. After grades have been given, after students have connected with teachers, we're not talking about 2 days into the school year, we're talking about in the middle of a dang semester, this guy, $300,000 guy who's never been a superintendent anywhere, was advocating, supporting, put together a plan to, oh, so what? Move them, shuffle them, balance them.
And it's the timing that makes it so ridiculous.
It's the concept that makes it ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't do that. I mean, well, no, I think that we don't even know what balancing is.
Well, we don't know what balancing is.
So, I mean,
now, there are teacher transfers, you know, take place 1 week in the semester. You find out, oh, you know, a lot fewer kids registered for the school than another.
Sure.
We understand that.
Sure.
But halfway through the semester, it makes no sense.
And putting kids' futures in jeopardy. I mean, this is a... And I'm sorry. I apologize to any seventh grader out there, but you know, I'm not going to apologize. I'm going to say that no seventh grader would have done this. This would have been a stupid idea to a seventh grader. This would have been a stupid idea to a pre-kindergartner. That you're going to take away my teacher for no reason in the middle of the semester. This is crazy.
It is crazy. And I just want to put a little context in, because our board has talked a lot about educational research and basing decisions on educational research. And one of the things that educational research has shown again and again, it's universally accepted as part of successful schools and successful education, is a stable relationship between the teacher and the students.
Mm-hmm.
Teacher stability. Mm-hmm. And this is schools where you have a lot of turnover. You get lower performance.
Mm.
So you need teacher stability. And our board has it really has done nothing the last 3 years to promote teacher stability. But this plan really showed how far away they get from ignoring that research. What they've done is they've spent $10, $20 million on things that are not research proven. Things like open court, things like a longer school day. These are not proven by the research to be successful, but they embrace that and throw money at it.
And I guess we would have to say that this goes to experience and expertise. People that know what proven things are people that have been trained and people that have experience and people that have a plan based upon their experience and their training. We don't have a person that is running the St. Louis Public Schools. We haven't had a person who has had a superintendent's certification or superintendent experience or superintendent knowledge for, has it been 3 years now? Is this the third year?
3 years.
We're going into the third year. And so I guess it shouldn't be, I guess it's really consistent that they would come up with a plan that Craig Williams would come up with a plan, endorse a plan, embrace a plan that has no connection to education because he has no connection to being a superintendent.
I mean, I just want to say that there are two views on that.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, as you said, the buck stops at the top.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who makes the decision. He's the one who tells staff what plans to draw up.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who tells staff what are priorities. And ultimately, the decision is his.
Now,
at the same time, there are school board members who oppose this plan. Bill Purdy, for example, who praise Craig Williams for late yesterday deciding not to implement it.
But here's the thing. I resist the effort to allow someone who is a PR. I think he's had a whole lot of training in PR. I think he's had or has at least surrounded himself with people that are very diligent in their PR efforts. It would be a mistake to give credit to someone who set it up to begin with and allow them to walk away with the PR moment that I stopped this. I didn't let this happen, but you planned it. You know, you planned it. I mean, you don't get credit for, you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
We shouldn't go to the place of giving him another PR moment of I come in and save the day when you started to set the building on fire to begin with. So you shouldn't really be giving credit for not lighting the match to the building that you plan to commit arson on. because that's pretty much what we're talking about here. That this shouldn't have been a plan to begin with.
It shouldn't. It should not have been a plan.
So I want to talk about, if we can, Peter, the how did people find out about this? How did it come down to the teachers that this was happening? How did they get notification that this was going to happen? Why did Craig Williams decide not to light the match?
Okay, the teachers got notified Monday, is my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers, some were called out of the middle of their classes down to the office and told by their principals that next week, I think November 1st is Monday.
Is it really? Wow, this month is gone.
Might be, no, October 31st is Monday.
Okay.
November 1st is Tuesday. But yeah, but that
wow.
Next week they would be transferred to another school.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of I was informed that in Cleveland High School, the teacher was the only one teaching a subject there in the high school and was going to be moved. So the circumstance you were talking about of students taking a class, a credit towards graduation, they would lose all that. They would lose the work they'd done, lose that credit. Some of those teachers then called their union to complain, and that was the first that the union heard that this was happening. They'd been aware of talk of possible balancing going back since before school started in August. I said, this is something Craig Williams has talked about. Their first vice president, Byron Clemens, who's running the local this week while Mary Armstrong's out of town, said that the union has been asking for months for details on what does this classroom balancing mean, who's going to be affected, and they haven't gotten any. But so they first they heard that this was actually going into effect was from teachers calling, saying, hey, I'm being told I'm being transferred. What's happening to my kids? This is the middle of the semester. What's going on? I also heard about it from teachers. school board members, Bill Purdy and Veronica O'Brien, I know also heard about it. Probably others did too, but those two I know for sure have. Monday night, I put out an email watch, St. Mm-hmm. Louis Schools Watch, that talked about it mm-hmm. with quotes from Bill Purdy and Byron Clemens mm-hmm. and with information I got from teachers. Mm-hmm. I am told that Tuesday morning...
But what didn't Byron also tell teachers to let parents know?
Yes, the teachers then put part of the response that the mm-hmm. teachers union planned, they said to their teachers, said, let your parents know we need to get parents involved in protesting this.
And I really want to underscore this because this shows how it's supposed to operate. The union gets information about what's getting ready to happen to students, what's getting ready to happen to education that harms our students, and the teachers, because they are the front line to the parents, got on the horn and started telling parents. Because people would have read about it in your newswatch. That is absolutely accurate, but the teachers are the front line.
Teachers are the front line, yes.
When they pick up the phone and when they call the parents about a Roberti, when they pick up the phone and call the parents about these things, things can happen. So this was really kind of like almost a textbook. What Byron Clemens did was a textbook of what the union's supposed to do, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And we have a couple letters here from parents, copies mm-hmm. they sent to the district by email. Unfortunately, the district email is very sporadic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very clear. And in at least one of those, they talk about how the parents received no notification from the district mm-hmm. that they were going to make these changes.
Of course they didn't. Of course they didn't.
Yeah, but they found out from their teacher. Tuesday morning, my sources tell me the district phone lines were flooded downtown mm-hmm. with parents protesting this. From preschool parents, preschoolers, take a long time to get comfortable with somebody. It becomes a very important relationship. They're worried about tearing this relationship apart. To high school, whereas we talked about kids trying to put schedules together. Remember, it's particularly kids starting in high school now. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the counseling in St. Louis high schools, because counselors have so much else to do, there's no real counseling until 12th grade about what do you need to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of kids are right on the line, like
and
you
that's,
said.
And that's if they get in early in the year and they don't wait to the second semester and try to start catching up there.
That's right. And as you know, kids who started ninth grade this year have tougher graduation requirements
mm-hmm.
for the state.
Mm-hmm.
A couple more credits they need to graduate. And so parents look at, and I would bet they got calls from high school students too who were affected by this.
Because mm-hmm.
It affects their possibility to graduate on time.
Absolutely.
So they got a lot of calls. They got protest. The downtown was getting calls from parents. The union was protesting it. At least two school board members were protesting it. And at about 3:30 yesterday afternoon, an assistant to Craig Williams called the union and said, we're putting it on hold. They said the elementary and middle school teachers will stay where they are. They will not be transferred. The transfers for high school teachers will be reviewed on a case-by-case basis and negotiated between the administration and union representatives. The union will sign off one by one whether they can transfer high school teachers.
And again, I understand the politicalness of saying that Craig Williams has done well to stop this. But again, the analogy that I want you all to feel on this is, if there is somebody out there that has taken a match and is starting to commit arson on a building, and you take a flashlight and you shine it on him and you see that he's getting ready to start a match to this building, for him to stand up and say, oh, I've decided not to set this building on fire, you don't get credit for that. There's no congratulations in this. You don't get credit for that because you were getting ready to do something that was a crime and you got caught, and that's why you stopped.
Well, it's kind of like any of us who have raised kids. If your child feels guilty about something, when you catch your child doing something wrong, and they look guilty, and they're guilty because they're doing something wrong or because they got caught.
Mm-hmm, there you go.
And in this case, all the parents phoning in there, that's what made the difference.
That's
is
right.
The reaction from parents.
That's right.
And
the district got caught. So there's no congratulations about this. This is, it was a perfect storm. It was the thing that it was media from your newsletter. It was the union doing what the union is supposed to do. I guess Mary Armstrong was out of town this week. when this was
happening. She's out of town this
week. She was out of town when this was happening. So this was Byron Clemens doing this. And it was making, I mean, if the union takes anything from this, just know the power that you have to call the dang parents. Call the dang parents when the stuff is going down. That's what's going to stop this. Because how would parents know if the teachers hadn't called and told them? How would all the parents have known? So that I think it's a great lesson. I think it's a great thing. And Craig doesn't get credit for not lighting the match, from my perspective. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown, St. Louis Public Schools Watch. When we come back, we're going to talk about more lies. No videotape, but more lies about charter schools. Stay with us.
This is Amir Mahoney calling you from LaCleese School, second grade. From 209, Miss Liz, I had a good time with you. Miss Liz, our class is watching Roots. Kuta Kinte knows his roots. His mother name is Dita, and his father name is Amaru. Kinte has dignity. Have a good summer. This is Amir Muhammad from room 209, where dignity reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you.
What a wonderful world.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Eastbound 70 at Goodfellow is closed due to an accident, and traffic is being diverted onto Lucas and Hunt and onto Natural Bridge. There's also a minor accident near Hanley. Traffic jams east of 170. Eastbound 40 between McCausland and Oakland. Look for an overturned vehicle. Only the left lane is open. Traffic jams through Lindbergh. Westbound 70 at Goodfellow. That left lane is closed due to the eastbound accident. Southbound 270 at Clayton and Manchester. Look for an accident. Three lanes are blocked. Two right lanes are open. There's another accident in the left lane near Ladue, and traffic jams back to Olive. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270 is slow in the right lane. Eastbound 44 between 141 and 270. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road, you've got slow traffic. Eastbound 70 between Zumbel and Earth City Expressway, look for everything to be on the move. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way to Washington Elizabeth, you've got slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 at KN 79, look for slow traffic. Southbound 55 at 4500 South Broadway and Loughborough, there's paving operations. Two right lanes are blocked. Westbound 40 between Hampton and McCausland, vehicles slow looking at the accident. And northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and Clayton, look for stop-and-go traffic due to a southbound accident. Westbound 5570 at 64 in the PSB, it's slow. Westbound 64 at 5570 merge, look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side to LaCleeds Landing, look for slow traffic going on there. And northbound Route 3 ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems to report at this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Make dinner easy with McDonald's. These premium chicken sandwiches, chicken selects, or premium salads are all perfect for dinner. And now you can rent a movie with dinner, too. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Sunny skies today, a high around 60. This evening, partly cloudy with a low around 40. Thursday, partly sunny in the, during the daytime hours with a high around the 60s. Thursday evening, look for clearing skies with a low around 40. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 65. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under clear skies, we have 41 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 40 under clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call at St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Radio Free St. Louis is AM 920 WGNU. Catch us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level
has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge, and most importantly the discipline, to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
Thursday morning at 7, our wake-up call guest will be Larry Johnson, former CIA intelligence officer and co-worker of Valerie Plame, whose outing by someone in the Bush administration threatens to shake the White House to the core. He recently had some harsh words about the president's handling of the entire matter.
We must put to bed the lie that she was not undercover. If she had not been undercover, then the CIA would not have referred the matter to the Justice Department. The president has flip-flopped on his promise to fire anyone at the White House implicated in a leak.
Don't miss Larry Johnson on the Wake Up Call Thursday morning at 7.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Coming up Wednesday on the Wake Up Call, we follow the paper trail of Tom DeLay. Imagine that, the House Majority Leader indicted for violating campaign finance laws, charged with funneling nearly $200,000 under the table. Big money from big companies like Sears Roebuck, Bacardi, and Diversified Collection Services. You'll find out what 527s are and how DeLay used them like his own personal play toy as we follow the Tom DeLay Money Trail Wednesday morning at 8 here on The Wake Up Call. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Casey Marshall calling you from Laclede School, room 209. Miss Liz, I love that African necklace I wore to Red Lobster. I wish I could go with you to Ghana. Miss Liz, you are the best and one of a kind. Miss Liz, this is Casey Marshall from room 209. Where dignity reigns supreme.
Hey, baby.
Have a great summer. Love you.
Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. I'm Liz Brown. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, all of our shows are on the Wake Up Call are archived at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. So if you missed an hour, go get an hour. And we are broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Revolution at Liz Brown, L-I-Z-Z Brown.com is the email address. Peter, let's talk about something that the man-child, Governor Matt Blunt, is running around the state, met with black legislators, elected officials, alder people last week to start pushing this whole charter school piece. I know the Betty Thompson ugly, awful bill is coming back up to try to steal from our public schools to give to private schools. Let's talk about this whole charter school concept because we have a report card in on one of the charter schools, don't we?
We have a report card in on Edison Schools, okay. Which is a national for-profit company that runs schools. It runs charter schools. It also runs public schools in some areas under contracts with school districts. So the report card didn't look at any particular school here in Missouri. There is one Edison school that's a charter school here in St. Louis.
And that is?
That is Confluence Academy.
And that is the school that is held up by a lot of people as an example of a charter school that works.
Yes.
In fact, we had one of the people that ran for Congress, Jeff Smith. Jeff Smith was a big
advocate.
Big advocate of
the teachers called about him as owning that school. He was very active in founding that school and is on the board that runs that school.
Okay, a Democrat pushing charter school. So go ahead.
So about 2 weeks ago, the RAND Corporation, a think tank based in California, issued a report on Edison schools. Now, this was a report that was commissioned by Edison schools itself, and Edison schools paid RAND Corporation to do the study. And it was a study that was supposed to come out a year ago. They delayed it for a year in order to follow the Edison schools for another year, really, in hopes that they're performing better.
Would do better. They gave them a chance to try to they gave them a heads up and a chance. They gave them a heads up and a chance to do better.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How
did so they followed schools for 5 years. And the authors of the report basically said it's a wash. They said Edison schools are no worse and no better than traditional public schools.
The idea of a charter school is to either do better or and do it cheaper than a public school, because otherwise, why do we have it?
Right, right. The idea of a charter school is that, the idea was that state regulation has so tied up local schools that they can't do the job, so let's free these schools from state regulation, and they will just blossom and do wonders for our kids.
And it hasn't...
We haven't seen it. You know, and frankly, something struck me as odd all the time. If the state legislators actually believe that the state rules were handicapping our local school districts, why not just remove the rules?
Yeah, why not do that? Well, that would be a simple thing to do. Now, in terms of the numbers, because can we make the argument that it may even be worse than even with the public schools that they were compared with? Because there was an interesting way that they cracked the numbers on assessing how the Edison schools did.
A couple things. One, on the numbers, they're looking just at averages. And they said Edison schools, there's wide variation in how well the schools do, just as there's wide variation with public schools. And we all know in St. Louis there's a wide variation in our public schools. Secondly, they, in following schools for 5 years, you have some schools, some school districts that had contracted with Edison. And then after 2 years or 3 years, they canceled that contract. They looked at how Edison was doing.
Lousy.
And they said, you aren't doing the job you promised to do. They canceled the contract and started running them again as traditional public schools. And the authors of the study, the RAND Corporation, decided that they would look at those schools, and even though they're being run as traditional public schools in their fourth or fifth year, they would include their results as if they were Edison schools, because they started out the study as Edison schools. And I asked the authors about these schools, and they said, well, if you took them out of the study, Edison schools would do a little worse.
Probably would do a lot worse. I mean, we only have their word for a little worse.
Right, right.
We only have their word.
We do know, they did admit it would do worse. So these schools did better in their fourth and fifth year as traditional public schools, but they were being credited to Edison.
So Edison scores are better. I mean, the best thing that they're saying that they did was break even.
Yes.
And the reason that they broke even is because they kept in their survey their numbers of the schools that they evaluated, schools that were being run by the public schools. And apparently the public schools, once the schools got taken back over by the public schools, they did better, enough to raise the scores.
Enough to raise the scores.
For
yes.
Edison.
Yes.
And what was Edison's explanation for keeping them in there, aside from the obvious, to make their numbers look better?
Well, again, I didn't talk to Edison, so I talked to RAND Corporation, which did the report. Right? And their explanation, they used an analogy to medical studies, kind of drug studies. They said in the medical industry, if people drop out of the study or they don't keep taking the drug, or they continue to follow those people anyways to see how they did and treat them as if they were taking the drugs.
That's a problematic analogy, isn't it?
Well, I think it is. To me, if the school failed, that's kind of like dying.
The patient died.
The patient died.
And you don't include that in your survey. And if you include the dead patients in your survey and your survey got better, that's really problematic about your pill. That must mean that you were really, really, really off if the dead people raised your boat.
Well, yeah, we've there have been big stories in the news the last year or so where, health studies, when it turned out that, they didn't tell the FDA, these people died from something else caused by the drug, and the drug gets withdrawn.
Mm-hmm. So
if we look, these schools died because Edison School was running them, well, maybe we ought to withdraw Edison Schools.
There you go. And then, or also we can make the analogy that, the patient got really, really sick and started taking somebody else's medicine, and they got better with somebody else's medicine, and you're still including them in your study. It's just in either way, it's, they're false numbers and a false representation of what Edison can do, and how districts are affected by Edison in their districts.
Yeah, I think one of the things that was telling to me, they said in looking at the Edison schools, the schools that did best are schools that again, according to the RAND Corporation, had very strong instructional leaders, where the principals were engaged in improving instruction in school rather than typical administrative duties.
Mm-hmm.
There have been any number of studies over the years that say that's true. Not looking just at Edison schools, looking at any kind of schools you want to look at, where
do
the
that.
Principals are strong instructional leaders, the schools improve.
Mm-hmm.
As I've seen, what are you showing different here? I did ask if they had done any analysis to separate out the effect of the principal being a strong instructional leader from the effect of the Edison program. And they said they didn't. They said, but that's what, if you're going to look at Edison being successful, I guess the following question is Edison more successful at recruiting mm-hmm. strong instructional leaders?
Mm.
And again, there's no evidence of that either.
And the other thing about the whole charter piece is what Edison says that they are going to be able to do when they get in a district. What are the promises that Edison makes?
Yeah, and I think that varies from district to district.
But if
you go to Edison's website, they promise that this is a world-class education.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And maybe it is, but then we have to admit then that public schools across the United, in urban cities across the United States are delivering a world-class education. Stop criticizing them because they're doing as good or better than Edison schools. And hey, if Edison is world-class education, then that's what our kids are getting anyways.
And then as a result of Edison and charter schools, the public schools are losing funds to do the jobs that they're
yes.
supposed to do.
Yes.
We're going to take a break, folks. This is St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I am talking to Peter Downs. I am Liz Brown. Stay with us. We have much, much more.
This is Taylor Mitchell calling you from a clean school, second grade room 209. Miss Liz, I'm having a great year. I love you. I love the beautiful message, African message that you gave me. Miss Liz, did you ever know that you're my hero? You are the best I ever know, just like my teacher. Because you are the star of my eye, just like my teacher. I'm in room 209 where dignity reigns supreme. Have a happy summer. Love you.
Love you.
What a wonderful world.
Thursday morning at 7, our wake-up call guest will be Larry Johnson, former CIA intelligence officer and co-worker of Valerie Plame, whose outing by someone in the Bush administration threatens to shake the White House to the core. He recently had some harsh words about the president's handling of the entire matter.
We must put to bed the lie that she was not undercover. If she had not been undercover, then the CIA would not have referred the matter to the Justice Department. The president has flip-flopped on his promise to fire anyone at the White House implicated in a leak.
Don't miss Larry Johnson on the wake-up call Thursday morning at 7.
take part in the Spirits and Hauntings Walking Tour in Alton, Illinois on Saturday, October 29th from 8 to 11 p.m. Experience Haunted Alton with dinner at Tony's, lecture, trolley tour of haunted places, paranormal investigator, and psychic. Tours are $40 per person. For more information, call 618-917-6658 or email altonhauntedtours@yahoo.com. Something spooky for you from WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
It's Halloween, so it's time for monsters, and I'm talking about a monster sale at 3425 Union Sears, black-owned, black-operated, 20% cash back when you buy three appliances, $399 or more each with your Sears card, 15% cash back when you buy two appliances of $399 or more with your Sears card, 10% cash back when you buy one appliance, $399 or more, or 0% APR financing until October. This is a sale that starts on October 28th and ends on October 29th. 12% off of already reduced scratch and dent floor models. Check out the deals at Sears at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, you don't want to miss, it's Halloween, you don't want to miss the monster sale. And when you get there at 3425 Union, tell them I told you to. Sears, get your shop on.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Detroit. General Motors has hired some Russian nuclear scientists to help discover new automotive technologies focused on improving batteries, fuel cells, hybrid cars, and electronic controls. A new research center is to be built in Moscow to develop those items and will be staffed by the Russian scientists who were put out of work by the end of the Cold War. GM is taking advantage of American and European Union programs that provide financial help to Russian scientists to develop peaceful projects. And Dateline Washington. Another connection has been discovered between the bird flu epidemic and the Bush administration. A few weeks ago, President Bush said some 200,000 people could die in the U.S. from the avian flu pandemic, and it could run as high as 2 million people. The vaccine that is supposed to be most effective against the bird flu is called Tamiflu, and the Bush administration has placed an order for 20 million doses at a cost of $100 a dose. That comes out to a cool $2 billion. Researchers doubt the effectiveness of Tamiflu to prevent anything and say it only cuts down the number of days you could be sick once you catch it. The drug is made by Roche, but was developed by Gilead Sciences, which continues to hold the intellectual property rights. And guess who used to be chairman of Gilead Sciences Incorporated? The same guy who still holds major portions of stock in it and will make a nice profit off of the $2 billion purchase. One, Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense. He'd been on the board for a number of years before being named chairman in 1997. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Coming up Wednesday on the wake-up call, we follow the paper trail of Tom DeLay. Imagine that, the House Majority Leader indicted for violating campaign finance laws, charged with funneling nearly $200,000 under the table. Big money from big companies like Sears Roebuck, Bacardi, and Diversified Collection Services. You'll find out what 527s are and how DeLay used them like his own personal play toy as we follow the Tom DeLay Money Trail Wednesday morning at 8 here on the Wake Up Call. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Carl Wentz, calling you from the Cleve School, second grade, room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for coming to our classroom. And thank you for the cute African necklace. Miss Liz, school is almost out. I'm going to spend the summer with my family. I hope you have another great time in Africa. Miss Liz, thank you for being you, and you're my hero. Thank you for teaching us about Africa. Everyone misses you. And room 209. Miss Lee, yesterday I received two trophies, one for perfect attendance for all the year, and one for high achievement. Have a fantastic summer. This is Carl Winston in room 209, where dignity reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you, Carl.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. Peter, there are two quick stories, and I want to get to some callers, but these are two stories that I think that tell you the power of the press and the power of people trying to get information, keep information from you. Talk to us about. Let's start with what's going on in the History Museum.
All right.
The History.
Yes, at the History Museum at Forest Park this Friday morning. The conference, I guess they're calling it a conversation on urban education. The school board has been touting this for a couple months now, and it is closed to the public. They want to have a conversation with us, but we can't be part of it. It's kind of a one-sided conversation.
Well, okay, the public can't come, but surely the press can come.
No, closed to the press, too. They have a press conference at the end.
And what are they touting the press conference
to? They're touting the press conference as announcing a covenant between the school district and parents.
Covenant with the devil. I mean, how do you have a covenant with the school district, with parents and a community, when you keep the parents and the community out to meeting?
Well, I think that's a big question there, and Ed Klinkscale has to answer. This is her baby.
Okay, well, apparently this whole keep them out, keep the information from folks has trickled down into one of our local papers.
St. Louis Argus.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a couple weeks ago, I prepared an article. A subject we talked about on this show.
Mm-hmm.
The superintendent of the Hazelwood Schools had written a letter to Applied Scholastics saying she didn't want them in her schools. That she had told them many times, didn't want their training.
And they were out there representing
that they were going to be tutoring kids from Hazelwood Schools. And she said, no, you aren't. We don't want you here. Stop saying you're involved with us. And so we wrote that article, had responses from people from Applied Scholastics, a response from somebody from the Church of Scientology saying that just reflected discrimination against them. And it was something worked on with the editor, discussed exactly how to present it for 4 or 5 days.
This is the editor of the Argus.
The editor of the Argus.
Mm-hmm.
It was put in, laid out in the Argus when it was sent to the printer to be printed. At the printer, the publisher, Eddie Hassan, pulled that article out and replaced it with a press release from Applied Scholastics.
Huh? Pulled the article out about Applied Scholastics being just outed as lying about representing Hazelwood School District, and he put in a press release from Applied Scholastics?
Yes.
Do you have any information about their connection with Eddie Hassan?
Well, I do know that he had been having discussions with the vice president of Applied Scholastics, and they invited him to go up to their facility to bring his daughter along and to meet Isaac Hayes. They're going to have Isaac Hayes in to promote Applied Scholastics. And that was part of a big push, I think, in the black community.
Well, they've been calling me, trying to get me to go out there and see him as well. This is...
Yeah, and I know that they invited Percy Green and said, he didn't go up there.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, I'm not coming up. But they were looking for, I guess, black opinion leaders to come up and meet Isaac Hayes.
Jesus. Let me get to a car phone. Bob.
Yeah. Hi, Liz. Hi, Peter. Have you read a study? I just read this the other day. An economist from Harvard, it was published in a journal, correlating the quality of the school district with the number of streams in the city.
Number of what?
Streams, rivers. The idea being, I think, that school district boundaries, sort of follow geographic boundaries, and rivers were natural geographic lines. And so basically, I think the more districts you had, the more school districts, the more choice the parents had, the better the school district. Have you seen that?
I have not seen that.
I haven't seen it either.
It's kind of a controversial thing. It's generating, I think, a lot of heat. But anyway, I thought maybe you'd seen it, might comment on it.
Do you remember
interesting.
Do you remember the journal that you read it in?
I could probably trace it back. You could probably Google it easy enough. You know, streams and school districts. It's
okay.
Hard to get you there.
Okay. Thank you so much. And thanks for Google, too. So, Peter, what do we have looking forward to besides being kept out of the paper and being kept out of meetings? What else do we have to look forward to?
Now, there is next Tuesday, there's mm-hmm. an administrative meeting of the St. Louis School Board mm-hmm. down at School District Headquarters, 801 North 11th at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Very good. Peter Downs, thank you so much for joining us this Wednesday, and we will be talking to you, of course, next Wednesday as well.
I'll see you then.
Take care. This is Liz Brown. I'll be back after the news. We'll be back to talk about it with Tom DeLay. I think so. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you pick a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The anthem, brothers, of
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Deirdre Bryant. The prosecutor examining the leak of a CIA agent's name could outline possible charges before a federal grand jury as early as today. ABC's Ann Compton is at the White House.
Nerves are on edge here. There's been a flurry of beat-the-clock activity by the special prosecutor. Just a day ago, FBI agents were still checking neighbors of Valerie Plame, asking if they knew she was a CIA operative. Indictments could also challenge the testimony of powerful White House advisors Karl Rove and Scooter Libby, who claimed they did not leak her name to reporters. And come to ABC News, the White House.
The family of Staff Sergeant George Alexander is remembering him as a soldier who gave his all for his country. Alexander was the 2,000th soldier to die in Iraq. His mother says he seemed concerned about returning on his last trip home to Alabama.
To me, he was a little depressed, and he didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to go back, but he said he's in the Army, and that was his first priority. It was just like they were his mother and father, so he had to go back.
Ann Spence on ABC's Good Morning America. 3 million people are still without power in South Florida, and there are long lines for water, ice, and generators. Jean Fiumara says it's tough going in Fort Lauderdale.
I always thought living without electricity was difficult. The living without water is even more difficult.
The town of Clewiston on Lake Okeechobee was hard hit. Terrified residents of one home found 2 8-foot alligators in their driveway. It took 14 innings, but the Chicago White Sox beat Houston 7-5 and now lead the World Series 3-0. The game-winning home run for Chicago came from former Astro Jeff Blum. The WNBA's most valuable player, Cheryl Swoops of the Houston Comets, says she's tired of hiding her feelings. Swoops tells ESPN, the magazine, she's a lesbian. The three-time Olympic gold medalist says it may be confusing to some, but she wasn't born this way. This is ABC News.
It's real simple.
Simple.
You plant seeds, you water, it grows.
It grows.
People want to buy it year in and year out.
Year in and year out.
All I did was give it a name. My name is Joe Pedot, and I discovered...
Let's all discover the next big thing. Wednesday nights start at 8 with Extreme Engineering, followed by Mythbusters at 9 and Beyond Boundaries at 10. An all-new Wednesday starts at 8 on the Discovery Channel.
Top three reasons I'll be at Home Depot's end-of-season savings event? Well, number three is 30% off. You got to be kidding me. Come on. Number two is they're not kidding me. You get 30% off, you know. And the number one reason, it's that whole 30% off thing again.
Hurry in now to the Home Depot and get 30% or more off all yellow tag merchandise throughout the store. It's the end of season savings event only at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only. See store for details.
Former figure skater Tanya Harding has been involved in another fight, this time at her home in Vancouver. ABC's Sherry Preston has more.
She probably said it best several years ago.
My life has been a roller coaster.
And the ride's beginning again. A man named Christopher Nolan, who lives with Tanya Harding, she says he's her boyfriend, he says he's her roommate, was arrested over the weekend and charged with assault. She actually called police during the incident, saying she was being attacked by two masked men who assaulted her before she could escape. That proved not to be true, but she did have a cut over her eye, so police took Nolan away. He told deputies that Harding threw him down and bit his finger when he said she drank too much. She says the cat scratched him. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Actor Len Dressler Jr. has died. He was the voice of the Jolly Green Giant in dozens of commercials.
Ho, ho, ho.
Green Giant.
He also voiced commercials for Rice Krispies, Marlboro, Amoco Oil, and Dindy Moore canned stew. Len Dressler died of cancer last week in Palm Springs. He was 80. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
Here's a check of WGNU News. This report brought to you by Southwest Airlines. I'm Peyton Colston. Topping the news today, the state of Missouri has carried out its fifth execution of the year. Marlon Gray was executed by lethal injection just after midnight at the prison in Bon Terre. Gray was put to death for his role in the 1991 killings of Julie and Robin Carey at the old Chain of Rocks Bridge in St. Louis. While his attorney and supporters maintained his innocence, Governor Matt Blunt and the U.S. Supreme Court both declined to halt the execution. Gray refused both a last meal and a sedative. In other news, a new study out of the St. Louis University indicates that adolescents and adults would benefit from a new whooping cough vaccine booster. Dr. Donald Kennedy, professor of internal medicine at SLU, says babies are given a series of three doses of the whooping cough vaccine in their first year of life.
This does give immunity by about 7 or 8 months of age that lasts up and through adolescence. However, immunity with the present vaccine strategy does not last forever.
Kennedy says vaccinating adults for whooping cough would also help prevent the illness in young children. Currently in St. Louis County, there's an outbreak of more than 70 whooping cough cases, including 6 students in the Rockwood School District. And South County motorists could face fewer traffic headaches thanks to the widening of a major intersection. Missouri Department of Transportation crews have finished work on the intersection of Lindbergh and Lemay Ferry 3 weeks ahead of schedule. MoDOT area engineer Tom Blair says it was the final project in a $35 million series of improvements in South County.
We started about 3 years ago on I-255 resurfacing. We also had Lemay Ferry widening from Mill Avenue down to Butler Hill Road. And then most recently, we had the Lemay Ferry Bridge replacement project over I-255.
The renovated interchange includes dual left turn lanes and dedicated right turn lanes at all 4 approaches. Blair says the new lanes will help reduce congestion and cut down on the number of crashes at the busy intersection. That's a check of WGNU News. This report brought to you by Southwest Airlines. Fly to Fort Myers, Naples from St. Louis on one of Southwest Airlines' 3 new daily flights. Whether you're flying for business or pleasure, Southwest can get you there. Visit southwest.com today. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Eastbound 70 at Air Flight, Lambert Airport Road, and Goodfellow stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 40 between at McCausland. Look for an accident has been cleared. The traffic still jams all the way back to 270. Southbound 270 at Clayton and Manchester. An overturned vehicle has 2 left lanes blocked and traffic jams near 70. Westbound 70 at Kings Highway, there's an accident. Center lane is blocked, and you have delays all the way back to Adelaide. Eastbound 44 between 141 and 270, look for stop-and-go traffic. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road, slow traffic. Right lanes are jammed all the way to 270. Eastbound 70 from Cave Springs to Earth City Expressway, or to Blanchett Bridge, look for no problems to report. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way to Washington Elizabeth, you've got heavy volume in pockets.
Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 between St. Louis Science Center and McCausland. Stop and go due to an earlier accident. Northbound 270 from 55 to Clayton. Stop and go due to a southbound accident, and people are rubbernecking. Take a look. Southbound 170 at Old Bonham and 40. Look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident at Eastbound 40 at McCausland. Southbound 170 at Airport Road and 70. Slow due to an earlier accident at Eastbound 70 and Goodfellow. Westbound 5570 exchange, from the exchange all the way onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 at Ball Avenue and 5570. Look for slow traffic and westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit all the way to McLean's Landing. Look for very heavy volume. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB is stop and go on that ramp. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight ground or even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Sunny skies today, high around 60. This evening, partly cloudy with a low around 40. Thursday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. Thursday evening, partly cloudy to mostly clear overnight with a low around 40. And then on Friday, mostly sunny skies. The high should reach around 65. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under sunny skies, we have 40 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 39. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news traffic, or we'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard, and at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very bad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you took a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Hearing revolution in the air, tell me, brother, how can this end?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. I guess maybe from this day forward, or this season forward, or from this season forward, maybe we will hereafter refer to the season not by the leaves changing into glorious colors of shades of yellow and red and purple and all of that. Maybe we won't refer to this as the fall season after this year any longer. Maybe from henceforth, we will refer to September, October, November, December as the indictment season. Because it's not raining men, it's raining indictments. I'm feeling it. Tom DeLay got his. After all, it is the indictment season. Scooter and Turd Blossom are awaiting theirs at this very moment. But we need to, let's start with the first indictment of the indictment season. Tom DeLay. You think you might know. Oh, you know. What you need to know in this? No. It's just like there are a million different shades of leaves in the fall season. There are a million different aspects to Tom DeLay's indictment during the indictment season. And to discuss that, to facilitate that conversation about all of the nooks and crannies and aspects of the Tom DeLay indictment and what it reveals, I have joining us from Washington, D.C., Bill Allison, editor-at-large for the Center for Public Integrity. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, Liz.
That's great. It's the indictment season, apparently.
Well, it seems like it, and it's it's. I was talking to a friend of mine who used to work here at the center, and telling him that I'm just exhausted. I can't keep up with all the scandals anymore.
It's really hard. It's beyond scorecards. We need another system.
I think so. Yes, absolutely.
Let's talk about. I don't even know where to begin with Tom DeLay. I think where I would like to begin with is let's start where we are now and work backwards a little bit. I'd like to talk about the, and I'm using this as a legal technical term, the smack that's coming out of his attorney's mouth about what the court system is going to be doing to him and what he wants to do with the court system now that he's indicted. Let's talk about the fact that Tom DeLay is busy trying to forum shop and the hypocrisy of that.
Well, what DeLay is doing is, or what his attorneys have alleged, is that the judge in the case, John Perkins, who'll be hearing it, he's a Texas judge, and Perkins has given contributions to MoveOn.org, and he's given contributions to other Democratic candidates and committees, and including the one that was actually lined up against TermPAC, which is the Texans for a Republican majority. This is the PAC that is the major issue in the case or its activities. And it was a delay PAC set up to influence the Texas state elections, state legislative elections. So what they're arguing is that, you know, he can't fairly hear the case because he's a Democrat. And obviously, you know, everybody seems to fall into one or the other of the parties, and obviously there's independents too, and people who aren't in the other party. But, you know, if you're going to have a political position in this country, you're going to be from one party or the other.
But if I can just interrupt for
sure.
One second. Isn't this administration, hasn't this administration or nominated Harriet Myers, whose sole claim to fame is her loyalty and dedication to this Republican president? So they're saying that some are saying that, and she may not be the best example, but some are saying that is not something that should be problematic, that loyalty to a party is an okay thing for a judge.
I think, you know, obviously that's, you know, the Harriet Myers is a whole other story in some ways. But you get my point.
You get my point about the argument of Tom DeLay saying, oh, no, we can't have a Democrat. Well, we're apparently getting ready to appoint a lifetime judge to a person that is truly a Republican.
That's the case. Although, you know, in fairness, I would say that, you know, the judges do fall into their Democrats and Republicans. But the idea is that when you're a judge, is you're able to evaluate the facts and the law. And if there's circumstances where you can't, you know, then there's a question as to why you're on the bench. And I think that Perkins has been on the bench a long time. And, you know, there is I think it's a legitimate argument to make that, well, if you can't ever hear a case with a Republican, then we have a serious problem with our whole judicial system.
And there's also the other component to this bill that in Texas, you run for judges, and you run as a Democrat or a Republican, don't you? Is that true?
That is true, yes.
So, and you run articulating the policies and the practices that you believe in as a Democrat or you believe in as a Republican, and you were elected based upon that. So to now say that it is illegitimate for someone to be a member of a party because they are a Democrat and a Republican when the voters knew that and voted them in because of that is that's not right.
Mm-hmm. No, I would say that. And I also, you know, I mean, again, one of the things that, you know, is interesting about this case is, and in some ways, you know, to be honest with you, I think this case is in many ways because it focuses so narrowly on the mechanics of campaign finance and moving contributions around, I think misses some of the larger issues with DeLay that, you know, here's a guy who in Washington, you know, the Washington Post had a wonderful story a week or two ago about how, you know, DeLay and Jack Abramoff, the lobbyist who himself has been indicted because of a deal he was involved in with some businesses that he bought, but also, you know, his dealings with a member in the Bush procurement, Office of Procurement for the Management and Budget, has been indicted, David Savafian, for lying about a deal that Abramoff was in. And, you know, and this is the guy who also took DeLay on the famous trip to Scotland. And, you know, and here you can see, you know, in all of this, you know, exactly how this works and the broader, how this influences people and how it, you know, impacts society generally. What you've got is a company that's able to pass a bill going against even DeLay's own supporters, you know, then the Christian Coalition and whatnot. But if the money is there, they're going to do, you know, they're going to go to Scotland, they're going to play golf, and in exchange, you're going to get a bill through for a company that's, you know, this, or get a bill killed for a company that's trying to do online gambling. And it just shows the kind of the whole hypocrisy of the system, and that, you know, all of these, you know, high-minded things that they talk about with the Republican majority and with, you know, that they sell it out to the first person to jingle some change in their pocket.
And don't we also have to talk about something that I've been frustrated with the way that the coverage has been of Tom DeLay and his recent indictment, in that it doesn't feel balanced in terms of really illustrating where Tom DeLay has come from. Tom DeLay has been reprimanded. in the Congress and reprimanded more than any city member of Congress. Shouldn't that be part of the discussion about or laying out what this is about or and the type of individual that we're dealing with?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, there's a whole pattern with delay going back, and obviously there's all the ethics charges over you know, various things he's done before. You know, he's somebody who does play fast and loose with the rules and, you know, and bends them to their utmost limit and may have gone beyond them. And you know, obviously all of that should be part of the discussion. And in some cases, I have seen, you know, some papers do a better job than others. But what I find, you know, fairly amazing is you've got the majority leader of the House of Representatives in Tom DeLay. You've got the Senate majority leader in Bill Frist under investigation for stock sales by the Securities and Exchange Commission. You've got the, you know, this White House. You've got, you know, we don't know what Patrick Fitzgerald is doing, but he's talking to the top aide to the vice president, the top aide to the president. And, you know, and further down the administration, and now after the New York Times has reported that maybe the vice president himself was involved. And it almost seems like, you know, people, you know, when I look at the newspaper, pick it up in the morning, and I understand these are important stories as well, but it seems like, you know, the hurricanes and the World Series and, you know, and here in Washington, how the Redskins are doing gets more play than, you know, this, you know, somewhat unprecedented ethical meltdown here that we're seeing here in Washington.
I think that that's a fabulous description of it. It is an ethical meltdown. And we're not just fiddling around at the edges of this administration. We're talking about the top dogs.
Absolutely. I mean, again, we're not, you know, in the DeLay case I mentioned, you know, there was an official indicted, David Savafian, who was, you know, hiding the Jacob Bramoff's interest in a couple of Washington office buildings. I mean, that's, you know, obviously not at the heart of the administration. But, yeah, I mean, the Patrick Fitzgerald investigation goes right to the heart of this administration, looking at what Patrick Rove, what, you know, Colin Powell was involved in some of these discussions. There was the plane flight when they passed around information about Joe Wilson and his wife. So, you know, we are talking about the absolute top levels of this administration.
And every level of government. We're talking about the United States Congress, the top dog in the United States Congress, the top dog in the United States Senate, and the top dogs in the White House.
Absolutely. And I mean, the only thing missing, and, you know, maybe we'll find out more when Harriet Myers and her past with the Texas Lottery Commission comes out. But, you know, the only branch that's not involved right now is the Supreme Court.
And still, they may not have the ethical issues yet, but there certainly is a meltdown going on in terms of trying to get her through with hearing from Crystal and all, et al. And Crystal and Pat Buchanan and all of those folks. They're talking about that she may, they may withdraw the nomination.
That's what they're saying. Yeah, and Charles Krauthammer is another one who even gave them a roadmap to do it.
Apparently they did ask, allegedly. They did,
right.
They did ask somebody.
It's, you know, it's the Myers nomination is a thing that really doesn't make sense in a lot of ways to me. I mean, looking at it, because it's so clearly, you know, when you think about people who are nominated to the Supreme Court, usually you're looking for somebody with a long track record of you know, legal scholarship. And you know, there are plenty of real-world attorneys who have also written about the Constitution. I mean, you know, she seems to have almost, you know, it's almost like picking, you know, the joke around town was is that he had to replace Greenspan. He was going to pick his personal accountant. I mean, you know, why he chose her is somewhat baffling. And, but, you know, but again, it's, you know, it's a crony of his, and we've seen a lot of cronyism in this administration. You know, we saw the Michael Brown stuff at FEMA and, you know, and his, complete inadequacy to that job. You know, one of the things that just, you know, astonished me is when they had the first House hearings about what happened with Katrina, and they had him on and they asked him, you know, and obviously things were much worse in Louisiana than any other state, and his explanation was, well, you know, Louisiana had a Democratic governor and New Orleans had a Democratic mayor.
And that was the problem.
And that was the problem. Right, sure, I can work with Republicans. We were fine in Mississippi. We were fine in Alabama. But the problem is we can't work with Democrats. That's, you know, when you're working in the government, you're working for all Americans, not, you know, the party distinctions stop once you have a position like that.
And if you look at the votes for the last election, so half the country has nothing coming.
That's right.
Half the country has nothing coming. Okay, I want to get back to delay for a second here.
Sure.
Because one of the things that I think is a story out there that people don't know all the details about is his legal fund. And who gives to his legal fund? Talk to us about this.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, you know, like all politicians who get into trouble, you know, they're going to have huge legal bills. And DeLay, like, you know, the rest of them, has set up a fund, which is, you know, the idea of which it's supposed to, he takes money from, all kinds of different people to defend himself. And, you know, and a lot of the contributors to, his legal expense fund, have come from, you know, he's taken money from registered lobbyists, which violates the rules of these things. You know, it's the House and the Senate that set up the rules for how these legal defense funds are supposed to work. And they're not supposed to take money from, foreign agents, people representing foreign governments. They're not supposed to take money from registered lobbyists. And, you know, and DeLay, you know, we took a look at his PAC, and sure enough, he's taking money from,
anybody that has a check.
Absolutely, from lobbyists, from Vin Weber, who's a former Republican lawmaker and a lobbyist, from you know, a bunch of people who represent different special interests in Washington. And, you know, but, you know, I guess it's birds of a feather flock together, or, you know, you can be judged by the company you keep. I mean, these are the kinds of people that Republicans rely on all the time to make policy here in Washington, is lobbyists. And it used to be in Washington that when you wanted to pass a big bill, you'd go to the big, you know, you'd go to your, you know, you would try to get your constituencies motivated. You'd have the lawmakers go into their hometowns and talking about what they're doing. And, you know, you'd have an effort to engage the country. When Republicans want to pass a big bill now, they sit down with all the K Street lobbyists for all the special interests, and they say, you know, okay, you're the guys who are going to help us pass this bill. And then, you know, and they kind of, you know, work members of Congress and make sure that they get the bill passed. And so, you know, I mean, it's, you know, under, in the last few years, you know, more to, you know, under the Bush administration and under the Republican Congress, lobbyists, you know, we used to jokingly refer to them as a fourth branch of government. Well, they are the fourth branch of government, and in some ways they've become the most important.
And when we come back, we have to take a break right now. When we come back, I'd like to go through some of the states that have given the most money, go through some of the individuals that have given the most money to Tom DeLay's legal expense trust, and what that might say. I'm Liz Brown. I'm talking to Bill Allison. He's the editor-at-large for the Center for Public Integrity. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the season that we're in, the indictment season, and Tom DeLay. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Southbound 270 between St. Charles Rock Road and Ladue. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit. Bridge maintenance operations have that exit ramp closed. You can use 11th Street or 14th Street to get around. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270. Slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 44 between 141 and 270. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and 270. You've got slow volume going on there as well. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall all the way to Blanchett Bridge. Everything's running smoothly. Westbound 270 from Riverview all the way to Washington Elizabeth has returned back to normal. Eastbound 70 between Hanley and Goodfellow, heavy volume due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, you've got slow traffic. Northbound 270 from 55 to Doherty Ferry, it is stop-and-go. Southbound 170 between St. Charles Rock Road and 40, look for traffic heavier than normal due to an earlier accident at
eastbound 40 and McCausland. Westbound 70 between West Florissant and Kings Highway, heavy traffic due to an earlier accident. Westbound 5570 split from 3rd Street onto the PSB. You've got slow traffic, westbound Kingbridge traffic. Before Laclede's Landing, everything's running smoothly. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Southwest Airlines has three daily flights from St. Louis to Fort Myers, Naples. Are you thinking what they're thinking? Maybe it's time to see Fort Myers, Naples. Visit southwest.com today for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Sunny today, high around 60. This evening, partly cloudy with a low around 40. Thursday, partly sunny during the day, high in the mid-60s. Thursday evening, clear skies with a low around 40. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 65. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 41 degrees under sunny skies. Lambert Field is reporting 40 and sunny conditions as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your weather, and a final look at traffic in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call blanket drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you.
The most exciting movie you'll ever see is coming Sunday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. to Trinity Tabernacle in Bridgeton. Left Behind, World at War continues the story of the best-selling books Left Behind and Tribulation Force, which follow the lives and struggles of those left behind on Earth after the rapture of the church. Stars include Oscar winner Louis Gossett Jr., Kirk Cameron, Chelsea Noble, and Gordon Curry. You won't find this film at any theater because Trinity Tabernacle shares the vision of Cloud 10 Pictures and the Left Behind film franchise with a new kind of outreach. The first motion picture ever to open in churches, not theaters. Proceeds will benefit the growing ministries of Trinity Tabernacle. Get more information by calling 314-291-8839. 314-291-8839. Don't be left out. See Left Behind, World at War, Sunday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. at Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
It's a story.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps.
Right.
Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I sucked a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Visit stlouisblues.com for special discounts and promotional information. Tickets on sale at the box office, Ticketmaster outlet, stlouisblues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE.
Examine life from the police perspective. Put down the police scanner and pick up Gary Wiegert on WGNU.net.
Thursday morning at 7, our wake-up call guest will be Larry Johnson, former CIA intelligence officer and co-worker of Valerie Plame, whose outing by someone in the Bush administration threatens to shake the White House to the core. He recently had some harsh words about the president's handling of the entire matter.
We must put to bed the lie that she was not undercover. If she had not been undercover, then the CIA would not have referred the matter to the Justice Department. The president has flip-flopped on his promise to fire anyone at the White House implicated in a leak.
Don't miss Larry Johnson on the Wake Up Call Thursday morning at 7.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
That man in front of me, he's calling black people trash to his children, and he's the only trash here I see. And I'm thinking this man wears a white hood in the night when his children should sleep. But they'll slip through their windows and they'll see. They'll think that white hood's all they need. It's a hard life, it's a hard life.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown, and I am talking to Bill Allison. He is the editor-at-large for the Center for Public Integrity. He's joining us from Washington, D.C., and we're talking about Tom DeLay. Bill, welcome back.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the contributions to the DeLay Legal Expense Trust. When was this trust started up?
The trust was launched in, let me see. It goes back to, the third quarter of 2000 it was started. So that would be in the fall of 2000. And has been in operation ever since, raising money every single quarter. And it raises money from, you know, a lot of the people that give to it are PACs and special interests and energy companies, members of Congress. Their campaign committees sometimes chip in $5,000, which is the top amount it can accept. And it's funny. I mean, I don't think most people realize that DeLay has needed a legal defense fund to pay his attorney's bills going all the way back to 2000.
And when we look at the, let's just look at the states, the contributions by the states, and let's look at the contributions for the year 2005. Are there any kind of patterns or any kind of significant numbers that we should be looking at when we examine the states that have given? Are they Republican states? Are they Democratic states? And who's given the most?
Well, it seems, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, obviously there's a lot from Texas, Tennessee, but, you know, but there are people who are given from...
And let's just underscore that for a second. Texas, we're talking about a 2005 contribution of $40,000 with a total of $305,000.
Right, and then you've got, you know, you have states like, you know, people in Alabama, people in Florida, people in, and Virginia is just a huge one. You know, a lot of people from Virginia, although there's a question as to how many, you know, just like the people from Washington, D.C., how many of those are you know, Republicans who are here, you know, staffers or you know, people who are Republican lobbyists who came to Washington from other states. But, you know, it does seem, though, like the pattern is an awful lot of red states.
And in terms of the Missouri ended up giving $22,000 for total contributions. When we break this down to representatives, who's the top kahuna in terms of total contributions for the second quarter of 2005? Who's given the most in 2005?
I have to apologize. I'm not sure.
What I'm looking at is the contributions to the DeLay Expense Trust by members of Congress or their political action committees, July 2000 to June 2005. And when I went to your website and looked at it broken down by members of Congress, it appears that Roy Blunt has given the most, $20,000. Is that, you think that's a coincidence?
Yeah, of course. Roy Blunt is, of course, the, he's kind of DeLay's number two. He's kind of moved into the old position, majority leader that DeLay had. I guess he's acting. He's the one in Washington who works most closely with lobbyists. And no, it's not a coincidence that he's, he's kind of a creature of Tom DeLay and, was brought into the leadership in part because of his abilities and his close connections to his abilities to rally and mobilize, K Street in behalf of Republican causes, but also because of his close association with DeLay.
Well, it doesn't, Bill, it doesn't seem right that Congress members should be able to contribute to the legal fund of another Congress member. What are the rules on that?
Well, and to take a step back, you know, a lot of the contributions coming from members of Congress aren't members of Congress. It's their campaign committees. It's passing special interest money through a congressional campaign to a, you know, to DeLay's defense fund. You know, I think there's probably no way to trace this, but it's entirely possible that you've got lobbyists contributing to directly to a congressional campaign, and that's the money that's going to DeLay. I mean, you know, the nice thing about, or you know, I'd say nice, somewhat sarcastically or ironically, about, you know, the way that the money works in Washington is you can launder money pretty easily. This is the same thing that DeLay is in trouble for in Texas with the indictments, is that you can move money around, and you know, you contribute to this committee, and that committee then contributed somewhere else. And money that's not supposed to be, you know, your lobbyist can't give to DeLay's PAC, but it can give to a member of Congress who can pass it on to DeLay's PAC.
Now, are members of Congress allowed to contribute directly to a legal expense trust fund?
You know, this is you know, the rules are, as far as, you know, how these things work, is that, you know, It is open to the only people who are barred from giving are you know, lobbyists and you know, registered foreign agents. Members of Congress are, you know, it's perfectly fine for them to give.
But it looks like in the year 2000 that maybe some of the funds are drying up a little bit. And when I look at it by state, there are a lot of zeros for 2005 contributions, although he received about a little over $1 million in total contributions from the state. He only received $90,000 as of the year 2005.
You know, it's interesting to see. I mean, you know, one of the things that we've heard anecdotally is that DeLay's fundraising is actually through the roof in 2005. So I think a lot of it has to do with the sorts of favors he's done for people. But as far as the legal defense fund, I mean, it's, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next quarter, because this will be the one that reflects what's happened since he's been indicted. And are people rallying to his defense, or are they, you know, backing away? I mean, we've yet to see, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
And we have to take another break. I'm talking to Bill Allison. He's the editor-at-large for the Center for Public Integrity, joining us from Washington, D.C. And when we come back, Bill, I'd like to break it down a little bit in terms of the contradiction of Tom DeLay's attorney asking to forum shop, given what Tom DeLay has done in the in his capacity as the leader for the Republicans for the House. I will be back. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us. All his judgments on other lives needs to stop. What are we living for? Giving more back than taking. On my knees, still waiting for my own salvation. Now I feel abandoned, cause rap you can and say I'm greedy. You can take my taxes, send me to war, but can't feed me. It's so easy to regret things after they done. Babies catching murder cases, scared to laugh in the sun. The tragedy is that we all need love and doses. In times like these, we feel closest. The good die young.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Islamabad. Pakistani armed forces have rushed several geologists into an isolated northwestern valley of the country. Volcanic activity has apparently been detected that could force some 150,000 people to flee from an area that has already been devastated by a recent earthquake. Villagers say a volcano has formed. Scientists are hoping they are mistaken and may have confused whatever the event is with aftershocks and landslides from the most recent quake. Over 3 million people have been made homeless in the region, and another 80,000 have been reported killed. Aid workers say they only have about a month left to get food and supplies to the most remote regions of Pakistan before the Himalayan winter cuts off access to those areas. And Dateline Washington. A House version of a bill reauthorizing the Patriot Act has some provisions that would make it easier to impose the death penalty.
The legislation triples the number of terror-related crimes that would call for the death penalty, including providing material support to an organization whose members caused death, even if the individual charged did not know or intend that the organization take part in acts of violence. Another disconcerting part of the law would allow a trial with less than 12 jurors if the court finds good cause. And this could happen whether the defense agrees to it or not. It would also allow prosecutors to try for the death penalty again if a jury deadlocks. Right now, a hung jury in a capital murder case results automatically in a life sentence. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
AM 920, WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive T-shirt as a thank you.
Who's awake while you're sleeping? Find out at the August A. Bush Conservation Area, 2360 Highway D in St. Charles, on Saturday, October 29th from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. and from 11 a.m. to noon. Children ages 2 to 4 can learn about nocturnal animals that might live near them. To sign up, call 636-441-4554. News to sleepyheads from Radio Free St. Louis.
Thursday morning at 7, our wake-up call guest will be Larry Johnson, former CIA intelligence officer and co-worker of Valerie Plame, whose outing by someone in the Bush administration threatens to shake the White House to the core. He recently had some harsh words about the president's handling of the entire matter.
We must put to bed the lie that she was not undercover. If she had not been undercover, then the CIA would not have referred the matter to the Justice Department. The president has flip-flopped on his promise to fire anyone at the White House implicated in a leak.
Don't miss Larry Johnson on the wake-up call Thursday morning at 7. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I didn't get so weak. Ooh, baby, just to hear you speak. Makes me argue just to see how much you're in love with me. Be like a queen upon her throne. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am talking to Bill Allison, editor-at-large for the Center for Public Integrity, joining us from Washington, D.C. And, Bill, talk to us about, when we're talking about Tom DeLay, talk to us about this whole, I think that he protests too much. The complaints that Tom DeLay's attorney is making about the venue that he's in and what he wants to do with that, about that.
Under Texas's, and Texas I think has one of the more bizarre systems in the country as to how things operate, but it's not the Texas Attorney General, who's a statewide prosecutor and can prosecute crimes anywhere in the state, who handles public corruption cases. It's the Travis County District Attorney in Austin. I think the idea is that the local prosecutor would be less subject to influences by state-level politicians and going after corruption. And so what DeLay wants to do in essence is get the case out of Ronnie Earle's hands. His defense lawyers in their brief talk a lot about how the crimes under which DeLay is accused of, you know, he shouldn't be accused of them, and the subtext, actually it's stated quite openly, is that if DeLay hadn't been charged with the money laundering, hadn't been charged with the conspiracy, hadn't been charged with violating the Campaign Finance Act, there would be local jurisdiction. It would be the prosecutor in DeLay's own district who'd be looking at these things, and chances are wouldn't indict him because, you know, you're taking away most of the charges. So that's in essence what they're trying to do. They're saying that it
you know, he shouldn't be accused of the crimes he's accused of, because then he wouldn't be accused of anything, I think is a fair way of reading it.
And he wants it out of that area. This is forum shopping. He really is engaging in forum shopping, and that's something that he was opposed to when he was in Congress. I mean, when he was the leader of the House in Congress, wasn't he?
Well, he's, you know, obviously a huge, you know, Republicans, and DeLay is one of the key figures in this, have always gone after tort attorneys for looking for, you know, called venue stopping, where, plaintiff's attorneys and personal injury cases or whatever for their clients look for judges or districts or areas where they think they're most likely to get justice for their clients and most likely to get big awards for their clients for their pain and suffering and trauma at the hands of corporations that have harmed them. And, you know, obviously Republicans oppose this kind of a thing, and you know, businesses hate it. And so they did pass a bill earlier this year which makes it harder to jury shop with, federal courts. And, you know, and clearly tort reform has been one of the central things that Republicans have been screaming about and trying to shut down the ability the right of the average American to sue when he's been harmed by somebody.
And the right of an American to file the case where they're able to file the case. It's just fascinating to me that here we have someone that pushed this bill through, got George Bush to sign off on it, said that, you know, you shouldn't be able to do that, but yet the first thing out of his attorney's mouth is his right to, or his thought that he has a right to, that he's saying, I have a right to forum shop.
He's saying that exactly. I mean, you know, and again, where I come down on this, of course, is that, you know, and when you have the criminal justice system or whatever, I mean, I think that, you have the right to a fair trial.
Yes,
it would be nice
do.
If DeLay thought that everybody had that right.
Fair enough. And in terms of what is going to happen with the result of this motion that Tom DeLay's attorney has filed, this makes it longer and makes the process at least stretch out longer, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I the funny thing is, you know, they're screaming and hollering about how they need an immediate ruling, and yet at the same time they're doing all these kind of procedural delays, like asking the judge to recuse himself, like asking the indictment to be quashed in Travis because, there's a lot of things that are going on prior to this case that will slow it down somewhat. My hunch is, and from having read, you know, the various briefs and things, I mean, it kind of goes back to the underlying, you know, things that he's been charged with in Texas. It will probably be, in some ways, I mean, there's very little doubt in my mind that what's alleged to have happened, that corporate money was coming into DeLay's PAC. They were shipping it off to a Republican state committee, which in turn was giving, laundering it and using other monies to send to. And I don't know if they'd even call it a conspiracy. I mean, it's kind of business as usual in politics. I mean, I'm sure that all that happened. I think proving each step of the chain in a court of law will probably be a difficult task, and Earl has set himself a tall order. And so in that sense, I mean, I think it'll be hard to, I think there's a lot, it's a difficult case to prove unless you get somebody to cooperate with you, and I'm not sure that he has anybody right now. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But, you know, again, with DeLay, I think the far more serious things, and these were just at the very tip of the iceberg, is what's going on with the investigation of Jack Abramoff in Washington and the various investigations of him. And he's much closer to DeLay and really in much more of a kind of a policy-affecting or legislative-affecting way. And it'll be interesting to see. I really think that that's where we're going to see much more scandal coming out and much more damaging information about DeLay.
And who's investigating Abramoff?
There's been a Senate investigation. There's a Justice Department look at him, and so far he has been indicted over the dealings in Florida, and at some point. Abramoff has his tentacles into so much of the Republican Party, with Grover Norquist, with
with Delay, with you know, some of the Christian groups like Christian Coalition and Family Research Council and you know, and all these other organizations, that he's at the center of so much of it. You know, I honestly think that you know, he, in terms of the kinds of things that he was doing and the kinds of things that we already know about and what's, you know, likely to come out in the future, there's a good chance that it'll be a, you know, implicating far more figures in unsavory practices and, you know, and with the possibility that a lot of them do break the law. So
and
we also
have the connection or the statement from Abramoff that he will roll. He has said, you know, I'm not going down by myself. I will roll. And we don't know that Ronnie Earle doesn't have Abramoff as a witness.
That's a possibility, although, you know, I don't know what his you know, connection to the Texas money move operation was. But you know, from the Washington standpoint, I mean, that's got to be sending a chill through an awful lot of Republicans, the fact that he's said this. And again, you know, I can't imagine that there won't be some effort at some point to try to keep Abramoff from talking, but you know, or to you know, kill the investigation. But you know, but the fact that Savafian has been indicted suggests that there are people in the Justice Department who are going ahead with this.
And we still know that there's not going to be contacts, since everything seems to be so incestuous and so interrelated. We don't know what Patrick Fitzgerald is going to do, if Patrick Fitzgerald has some folks that are going to connect all of this up either. I mean, all of this stuff could be all connected to one thing, couldn't it?
It, you know, it certainly is, and you know, I think that what it's all connected to is the whole idea of winning elections and paying off the people that pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the central thing that I think links all this stuff up.
I want to thank you, Bill Allison, editor-at-large for the Center for Public Integrity, joining us from Washington, D.C. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Liz. It was a real pleasure.
Take care. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. Next hour, open lines. I want to talk some more about Marlon Gray. Oh, I want to talk about a number of things. Please give me a call at 454-0400. We'll be back after this news break. Stay with us.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Has more from the White House.
Without calling it a benchmark, President Bush acknowledged the high cost of casualties in Iraq.
The best way to honor the sacrifice of our fallen troops is to complete the mission and lay the foundation of peace by spreading freedom.
The emphasis here today is what's going right with the new Iraqi government. And finally, confirmation that a constitution has been approved. Ann Compton, ABC News, The White House.
Cindy Sheehan and other peace activists are planning to stage symbolic deaths outside the White House over the next 4 days. The special prosecutor investigating the leak of a CIA agent's name will not make any announcements today, that according to his press secretary. It's believed Patrick Fitzgerald is close to asking the grand jury to approve indictments, possibly against some key White House advisors. There's late word of a bombing in a marketplace in the coastal Israeli town of Hadera. Reports of at least 20 casualties. A frustrating time for many in South Florida. 3 million people are still without power, and it's expected to be another day of long lines. ABC's David Muir is in Miami.
We're outside the Orange Bowl where crates of water sit here. That's a welcome sight after they ran out of water here last night. They trucked it in overnight. More is expected this morning. And the mandatory curfew that's in place is lifting here this morning, so the long lines are expected to start forming again across South Florida this morning, not only for water, but for gasoline.
The UN's emergency relief chief plans to ask 65 rich nations meeting in Geneva for $550 million for earthquake victims in Pakistan. Jan Egeland says the money was needed yesterday. Relief workers are in a race against time to get hundreds of thousands of people under shelter and stockpile food before the harsh winter sets in about a month. The Chicago White Sox could win the World Series tonight. They lead Houston 3-0. This is ABC News.
It's real simple.
Simple.
You plant seeds, you water, it grows.
It grows.
People want to buy it year in and year out.
Year in and year out.
All I did was give it a name. My name is Joe Pedot, and I discovered...
Ch-ch-ch-chia.
Let's all discover the next big thing. Wednesday nights start at 8 with Extreme Engineering, followed by Mythbusters at 9 and Beyond Boundaries at 10. An all-new Wednesday starts at 8 on the Discovery Channel.
Top three reasons I'll be at Home Depot's end-of-season savings event? Well, number three is 30% off. You got to be kidding me. Come on. Number two is they're not kidding me. You get 30% off, you know. And the number one reason, it's that whole 30% off thing again.
Hurry in now to the Home Depot and get 30% or more off all yellow tag merchandise throughout the store. It's the end-of-season savings event only at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only. See store for details.
Families in South Los Angeles are calling on Paramount Pictures to pull ads promoting rapper 50 Cent's new autobiographical movie, Get Rich or Die Trying. Protesters complained about larger-than-life images of a gun-toting 50 Cent at a rally yesterday. Dr. Sandra Moore was there.
I lost my daughter to violence on the streets. So I'm telling you, as a mother of a murdered child, it's not 50 Cent, it's Paramount. It's the predators in our community. You think it's all right to exploit our community.
Leda Haran was also there.
I'm not raising five grandchildren to follow him into the thug life or to follow him into prison or to follow him to the cemetery either.
She said the ads teach kids it's okay to use violence to get to the top. A 23-year-old man is hospitalized in Austria after jumping out a fourth-floor window. He claimed he was Superman and could fly. He couldn't. Police say he apparently finished several bottles of wine before making the attempt. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
With a report of WGNU News, I'm Peyton Colston. This report brought to you by Pontiac. Topping our news this morning, the state of Missouri has carried out its fifth execution of the year. Marlon Gray was executed by lethal injection just after midnight at the prison in Bon Terre. Gray was put to death for his role in the 1991 killings of Julie and Robin Carey at the old Chain of Rocks Bridge in St. Louis. While his attorney and supporters maintained his innocence, Governor Matt Blunt and the U.S. Supreme Court both declined to halt the execution. Gray refused both a last meal and a sedative. In other news today, a St. Charles man is dead after a fatal crash on Interstate 70 yesterday afternoon. 42-year-old Ronald Sonker was driving eastbound on Interstate 70 at the Earth City Expressway when he rear-ended a truck driven by a St. Anne woman. Sonker then traveled across four traffic lanes and hit the median wall. He was pronounced dead at the scene, and investigators say he was not wearing a seatbelt. As 2005 draws closer to an end, St. Louis Police Chief Joe Mokwa is sharing his thoughts on the city's crime rate. Mokwa says he thinks this year's crime rate looks like it'll come in about the same as last year's.
We're a little bit high on homicides. We're about 6 or 7 homicides higher than last year at this time, which concerns me, but not significantly. One of the challenges with crime rates is when you have a successful year, then you got to compete with it the following year, and so inevitably you're going to have a little fluctuation.
Chief Mokwa says this year's crime rate is up about 1% from last year, but that's a pretty negligible number. And finally, St. Louis is about to reach a milestone. Friday will mark the 40th anniversary of the Gateway Arch. Bob Moore, historian for the Gateway Arch, says Eero Saarinen, the Finnish architect who designed the arch, died before his vision was realized in 1965.
Came to the United States when he was 10 years old and became, an American citizen. By the time that the arch was built, one of the best-known architects in the world. His solo career was fairly short because he died at the age of 51 in 1961, just before the arch was built.
An exhibit will be unveiled Friday in honor of Saarinen. For an itinerary of the Arch's two-day anniversary celebration, visit www.archanniversary.com. That's a check of WGNU News brought to you by Pontiac. Been dreaming of a new car? Now's your chance. Pontiac is offering incredible 0% financing for qualified buyers on select remaining 2005s. What are you waiting for? Take delivery by January 3rd. Length of contract is limited. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. When we look at this hour's traffic and weather, this hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Southbound 270 at Dorset, an accident has been cleared, but traffic jams at St. Charles Rock Road. Continued slow pockets then to Olive. In both directions, 370 at Elm and 94 bridge maintenance operations have left lane closed in both directions. 40 between Lake St. Louis and Route N. Look for road construction there. Right lane is closed. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit. The Broadway Bridge exit, that is, maintenance operations have that ramp closed. You can use 11th Street or 14th Street to get around. Eastbound 44 between Chrysler and 270, and you still have heavy volume there. Eastbound 70 between 141 and Mason Road, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 at Cave Springs, all the way into Earth City, look for normal traffic. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way to New Florissant Road, look for traffic flowing freely this hour. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley, it's stop and go. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, look for very heavy traffic going on there. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to 44 is slow traffic in pockets. The I-70 express lanes are closed until midday due to maintenance. Northbound 55 between Loughborough, look for paving operations having that exit ramp closed. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge is returned back to normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way into Laclede's Landing, everything is flowing freely. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight ground or even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Sunny skies today, should become partly cloudy by later on this afternoon. The high should be around 60 for this evening. Partly cloudy with a low around 40 for Thursday. Look for partly sunny skies. The high should be around 60 Thursday evening. Partly sunny skies to clear skies overnight with a low around 40. And then on Friday, mostly sunny with a high almost to 65. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under sunny skies, we have 43 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 42. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress has been made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below knee.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation, look and listen to us.
The words that you're hearing are the words of Marlon Gray. Marlon Gray was executed last night by the state of Missouri after exhausting all of his appeals. Marlon Gray, evidence, proof of an innocent man executed, killed on behalf and by this government. Last night we went to be there when they injected Marlon. And I was amazed at the amount of people. I was amazed at the passion of the people. And I was amazed at how much more needs to be done. There are so many inconsistencies, so many absolute absurdities, so many just clear pieces of evidence that an innocent man was executed last night by a governor who loves life. We need to talk about this. We need to talk about this. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'm not unrealistic. I'm really not. I am not naive. Not about this stuff. There are some things that I'm very naive about, but not this. And I know that it was like getting blood from a turnip to expect that Matt Blunt, who turned his back on people with wheelchairs and children who need medicine and all kinds of health issues, I am not surprised that Matt Blunt only values politically expedient life. Politically advantageous life. Matt Blunt loves the politics of what life can do for his political ambitions. I get Matt Blunt's connection to life. And I must say that we shouldn't draw the line of demarcation at the front door of the governor's mansion. Oh, no, 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 no. We must walk across the street, across the aisle, across the way to Jeremiah J. Nixon. Because Marlon wouldn't be dead if he hadn't expedited his execution date. Marlon is dead because of politics and ambition and racism. Politics, political ambition, and racism. And the state of Missouri has blood on their hands. And the state, the probation, Office of Probation and Parole is equally as foul. Is equally as foul in their decision not to offer up, order up, vote for, support clemency. They don't want to hear from folks about what they're doing. They want to do things also in the cover of dark, under the cover of darkness. It is awful. And the fight ain't, and it is awful, and it ain't over. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I was calling just to see if you had heard anything in regards to, there was a young girl that was stopped by a Kirkwood police and practically harassed, and her mother, she went up to the police station, and she's supposed to go back up there Friday with Elia Davis. Have you heard anything in regards to that?
No, I haven't.
And actually, it was Clarence Harmon's granddaughter.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, if you hear anything else, let me know.
Oh, yeah, sure will.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Lois, good morning.
good morning. I'm not Lois, but
My mistake, Christine, I'm sorry.
I called Matt Blunt's office, his local office, and then I called Jefferson City and left messages, and no one gave me a call back, and I was calling concerning the execution, which is a planned execution of Mr. Gray. And I never got to speak to a body. I was always transferred to a recording. And I don't know whether this Matt Blunt, whether he got the message or not, but no one from his office called. And I called
me back.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And I would want to know if there is any way that the state of Missouri could be sued for killing an innocent man.
It's all about the evidence of that. I don't know if there are any efforts like that afoot, Christine. I don't know.
No, I'm saying, is that, would that be possible?
And I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, because
know.
It shouldn't be over. I mean, I know Mr. Graves is dead. And I can't think of his first name, Maurice?
Marlon.
Marlon. I know he's dead, but that should not be the end of it. It should be the beginning of something. I mean, because this should be known all around the country.
Well, it's known all over the world. The woman that I had in the studio with me when we had Marlon on a week ago yesterday came all the way from Germany, because it has in the international community, and there's a lawsuit that is filed in an international court as well. I feel you that more people need to know about this, but we all need to know that this case is being felt all outside of the borders of Missouri and across the world.
I listened when you had Marlon Grave on your show, and he wasn't talking about, he was talking about evidence that a person could read.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And when I heard Matt Blunt on television saying that he had not, I don't know whether he said read or somebody had told him, he hadn't heard anything that would say that Marlon was innocent. Now, when he said that, I mean, this shows to me that he probably never read anything. He's never tried to find out anything, because And there's too much evidence pointing to his innocence.
I think he read his press release, is what I think. That's the only reading that Matt Blunt has done, is reading his own personal press release.
And you just wanted to take just one fact that they said when he confessed to raping the girls, or girls, I don't know how many he confessed to raping to, and they never took a blood sample, never took any DNA to try to confirm or deny his confession. So that, to me, right there, would be enough for a stay. And for him not to be on the bridge, which was, I think, proven evidence, that's two things. I mean, stands out like a sore thumb that the man is innocent. If not, just stay, I know I'm talking, it's too late now, but to have a stay so that they could disprove it.
That's got to be the last word, Christine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Victor, calling from New Jersey. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Liz. And I have to, I listened to you as well as what other people asked. Well, actually, this morning. That was murder.
Yep.
That was murder. You have no way around it.
You're drifting off on me. Could you stay on your phone, please?
Oh, can you hear me?
Much better.
Okay, that was murder for political gain. Murder for political gain. You know, I listened to Marlon, and I listened to what he was saying as far as his case, and then I went into the case itself, I'm not a lawyer, but even in the evidence that I saw from the Missouri Supreme Court, the Supreme Court didn't even hear it, our Supreme Court, what we call the Supreme Court, but going through the evidence and everything to not even see, I know I live in a country that's filled with people that live in a delusion, but I mean, to not see that this man was innocent is definitely, I just couldn't come up with any words last night when I heard that, especially the moment of silence that you did. You know, and you said it was eerie out there this morning, and the fact of a feeling of spirit leave this earth at that point in time, and knowing that this man did not have to die, you know, no more than a lynching, no more than murder, no more than just thugs right out in a street or in the parking lot, and these men in their suits and in their high class homes or whatever, no more than a thug in the street, they killed this man. They didn't use the knife, but they used everything they could to kill this man other than a knife or a gun. And I think people don't truly understand what happened. I really don't. I think people are so far removed from this situation that they really can't put themselves into it. You know, I went over this with a friend of mine, and I said, you got to put yourself into this situation. You know, I mean, people think that, okay, if he was killed, then he was properly tried and everything, the verdict. You argue with a person at a convenience store, okay? If people see you, you leave, go away. You come back the next night, you walk in, nobody's around, he's laying on the floor dead. You walk over to him, you hear something in the back of you, you pick up the gun or whatever that was left there. Police come in, that's you. You find yourself where this man is at that point in time. You know, I don't think people realize what has occurred, and I think they're so far removed.
And one of the things that I agree with you, Victor. I think that there are so many people that are far removed, so many people that are afraid to let themselves feel this. There are so many people out there that, despite everything that is wrong with our criminal justice system, they still believe that when they walk into that courtroom, they're going to get a fair trial. And I'm sad to say, because I practice criminal defense law. I represented people. You get a as fair of a trial as you can either afford to pay for. You have the luck enough that your witnesses show up for, that the luck enough that you have an investigator that you can, that will go out and hunt the people down, hunt the evidence down, the money enough to pay for the counter witness to the state to say that your evidence, your stuff, that their stuff is a lie. All you have to have, and also you have to trust that you're going to have be fighting against a prosecutor that is lawful, a prosecutor that is not going to lie, a prosecutor that's not going to cheat, and then a judge that is not going to let a prosecutor lie, not going to let a prosecutor cheat, that is going to hold witnesses accountable, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. All of those things have to be in play. And I was talking about this on the way up last night to the folks that were riding in my car with me. And we were talking about this. And I said, oh, I remembered that one time that Oprah Winfrey said that when she was a juror on a trial, she said that, I don't understand. If somebody doesn't testify, I'm going to think that they're guilty. Why wouldn't you testify? And someone like Oprah, who has $1 billion, is asking the question that she, as an actress, should know the answer to. As an American, she should know the answer to. As an African woman, she should know the answer to.
She should.
So, because the fact of the matter is that, suppose I'm a person that's mad as heck and I haven't done anything wrong. And the only thing that I can do on that witness stand is to glare or to be angry, and I don't project that I'm telling the truth even though I am. The jury, who's never met me before, never talked to me before, will never see me again, never doesn't know anything about me, is going to feel that they can look at you and tell whether you're telling the truth. And if you're not a good projector, if you're not a good communicator, if you're not an effective communicator, and I offer this up to anybody in the world, how effective of a communicator do you think that you could be, or do you think you might be a little stressed out about your life being on the line and you're forgetting stuff and not being a very effective communicator? Truly, this is the one time when your life is on the line, and most people are not going. Truth and evidence and all of that stuff, that's movie thoughts to think that people are just going to be able to tell all the time. No, they're not. So a lot of people don't get on the stand to testify because they're not capable of communicating their innocence effectively.
You're right. You're right. You had a woman on, I think it was yesterday, that basically was talking about the fact that we need to do something in the African, she said, black community or whatever. And I think it was you said that she had a perception that when she saw a young black male, when she saw black people, it's just a perception of there's a crime. If you see a person of color, then if a crime is associated with, they had to have done it. Okay? They had to have done it. You have these jurors, and they looked at this man, and basically, in their minds, when they walked in and they saw him, with the bias, the prejudice, and all the other things that come, the heuristics, all the things.
And the underscoring of that by the prosecutor in the closing argument.
Yes.
He said all of that. He spoke to all of that you are describing. And let me add two more things, if I may, Victor. It's not just the perception that they have of him by looking at him without any other evidence. We also had two white men that came in and testified against this black man.
Yeah.
We had two dead white girl bodies, white young white women bodies.
Yes.
We had a man that has confessed to raping one of the white girls.
Yes.
So what, you know, what are the odds?
Yes.
What are the odds?
Yes. Yes. He said, I mean, no, everybody said, how could this man fall into that river? Not drenched, no broken bones, impossible.
No,
no
river water in his hair. Bump the broken bones, no river water in his hair.
Thank you.
Victor, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Listen, folks, we're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. We have much to talk about, much to do, much to tend to. Stay with us.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive T-shirt as a thank you.
AM 920, WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right, 3425 Union. It's Halloween weekend. The monsters are not all out on the street. The monster sale that's going on right now at Sears at 3425 Union. That's right, 20% cash back when you buy three appliances of $3.99 or more with your Sears card. 15% cash back when you buy two appliances of $3.99 or more each with your Sears card. 10% cash back when you buy one appliance of $3.99 or more with your Sears card. 0% APR financing until October 06, and free delivery on a home appliance over $3.99. Wonderful special sales going on at 3425 Union. Don't go to the mall. Go to 3425 Union. 12% off of already reduced, already scratched, and dented floor models. Come on. Get your shop on. Begins October 28th, ends on October 29th. Get to 3425 Sears. Where else?
Direct from Austria, the Spanish Riding School of Vienna, in their first North American tour in over 15 years. This rare visit salutes the 60th anniversary of General Patton's rescue of the Spanish Riding School and the Lipizzaner breed. For over 400 years, the unique and beautiful dancing white stallions have thrilled audiences around the world. Don't miss this incredible experience, the Spanish Riding School of Vienna.
The Savas Center, November 12th and 13th. Tickets now at the Savas Center box office and all Ticketmaster outlets. To charge by phone, 314-241-1888. Presented by Audi.
Has Steve Franklin been on your mind? Join him online at WGNU.net.
Akbar Electric. Commercial, industrial, residential. 3737 North Kings Highway. 382-2568. 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors. No job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call. 382-2568.
Thursday morning at 7, our wake-up call guest will be Larry Johnson, former CIA intelligence officer and co-worker of Valerie Plame, whose outing by someone in the Bush administration threatens to shake the White House to the core. He recently had some harsh words about the president's handling of the entire matter.
We must put to bed the lie that she was not undercover. If she had not been undercover, then the CIA would not have referred the matter to the Justice Department. The president has flip-flopped on his promise to fire anyone at the White House implicated in a leak.
Don't miss Larry Johnson on the wake-up call Thursday morning at 7. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
This is Marlon Gray. Some music he left behind. As you know, Marlon Gray was executed last night. We were there. We broadcast live. It was heart-wrenching. Heart-wrenching. Let me get to some of your calls. I know you want to share your thoughts and your observations with us here on the Wake Up Call. Edward, good morning. Edward, good morning. Caller, good morning.
Hey, Liz, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
I was listening last night. It was so sad. And I know it was hard for the family and everything. And I know it was hard for you because I could hear it in your voice and everything. And I know you was cold last night.
It was bad. It was bad.
Yeah, because my ears was bleeding trying to hear you. And it's a shame that another innocent soldier had to go to his death for something he didn't do.
It's a bad thing. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Take care. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Lois.
Hi. Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
I experienced something, and I want to share it with you and your listeners. I have been fighting racial injustice for almost 20 years, and I am so upset about what I saw Saturday I witnessed the police harassing this young black man for no reason at all. I was coming from a friend's house. I was waiting on the, I was on the bus stop, and I saw the two squad cars pull up, and one proceeded on, and the other one crossed the street. The guy was walking one direction, and the squad car was going the other, and he pulled up, crossed the street and pulled up, and said something. I was talking to this young man, and I was watching it, and I'm saying to myself, I wonder if this guy arresting this, harassing this young man. And so when he left, I called the young man over to me, and I asked him, I said, was he harassing? He said, yes, ma'am. He said that they do that all the time. He said, I wasn't doing a thing. I was just walking down the street. I said, I know. I saw this.
So what did the police officer say to him?
He said the police officer told him to get the F out of there. Now, mind you, I'm not in no Chesterfield or Clayton. This is on Jefferson and Martin Luther King area. So the man was in the black community. And so I told him, I said, pass this along. Be very careful. This is a deliberate attempt to provoke young men so they can have an excuse to beat up on you or arrest you. I said, the best thing for you all to do is not to get smart with them or say anything that would give them any excuse. I said, you have a right to walk these streets.
They also have a right to challenge him. I'm not. I struggle with that, Lois, because when you're telling, psychologically, you're telling people, you're teaching our young men to submit. You know, and so there's a balance here. There's a concern that I have that to pass on a energy of that's part of the legacy of racism to, you know, don't get smart, don't say anything back, don't.
Under normal circumstances, Elias, I would agree with you.
I'm just saying that I struggle with it.
But when you know that they're deliberately.
I'm just saying, but there are those that do all of that and get shot and killed anyway.
So
my point is that I struggle with that because of what the cost is to the emotional, to the emotional well-being, to the psyche of young black men, to we got to take it type of a thing. How does that disempower them?
I see your point. And on the other hand, what is the police officers is doing to the young men? They also psychologically destroying them. That they're making them intimidated. They're scared to walk the street because the police is going to pick on them. They're scared to walk the streets because the gang members is going to shoot them. It's a situation where a decent young man.
Well, that young man wasn't thinking about any. It wasn't any gang person that came up to him and that was harassing him. The concern that I think that we need to have is. I'm not saying that my suggestion is the solution, Lois. I'm just saying that there has to be something else to say to people because, you know, if you continue to encourage or you continue to walk in fear constantly does not make you a strong man. And to submit to fear constantly does not make you a strong man.
I know. No, that's true, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that I just don't want them to, when they approach and they know they haven't done anything, and they're approached by these police officers, and if they, whatever they tell them to do, like they say, move on or whatever, just move on. Don't get smart mouth. Because all they're going to do is get out of the car and have an excuse to kick your butt.
And I believe you got to stand up. You got to stand up for yourself. You can't kowtow.
But they have no power to stand
and,
up.
And see,
do is
and
get
that,
beat up.
And that's where you and I differ. I believe that we have more.
We do. We're on the same page. We want the same for our people, but we have different tactics. I'm a generation older than you. So,
and I got to roll. Yeah. But thank you, Lois, so much.
But I want to ask you, what can I do? I think
you need to
write to Mokwa or call. I don't want to call her because they're just going to, you know,
There's going to be no record of it. But is there
I
any...
I would. You know what? Here's what I'm going to do, Lois. I'm going to put you on hold and let Howard give you my number, and then I'll put you in touch with Police Crimes and Repression, and they'll have a bunch of things for you to do.
Okay.
All right.
All right, thank you.
The Organization of Police Crimes and Repression. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Sam.
Good morning. How are you, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I just wanted to make a comment about the jurors that were on Marlon Gray's trial.
Mm-hmm.
People need to understand that you get a group of people, some of which do not have a clue, some of which who do, and you get a person in there that's a dominant force or someone that's just very, very opinionated, and they can easily... I guess, beat you down mentally until you just pretty much give up and say, okay, I'm going to swing with your vote.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe the people on that jury, all of them, thought that this man was guilty. And I'll tell you why. Over 20 years ago, I made a big mistake, and I am so sorry for it to this day. I was set on a jury for Dennis Wayne Hinkle. This man was charged with stealing motors and selling them out at Lambert Airport. It was a big thing going on, a big trial here in St. Louis. They found this guy with a police bubble in his basement, a police manual that only the police department would have access to, some other paraphernalia. And the female Caucasian jurors that I was sitting with.
This is a city case?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When he came into that courtroom, this guy reminded me of Elvis Presley. And I looked at my fellow jurors, and their faces lit up. They found this guy with all of this stuff in his basement, and I'm arguing the case that even if he did not do it, this man is an accessory to this. He's an accomplice. He should not have this stuff in his possession. I allowed these people to wear me down until I just said, okay, forget it. You know, you want to let them go, let them go. As a result of that, I read the paper every day. And as a result of that, recently his grandson was killed. His son was killed by another son. He went on to commit a murder out in Festus, I believe, and left a man dead out there. People, when you're on these juries, follow what you know is right, vote the way you know you need to vote, and let the devil be damned. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Sam. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'm Liz Brown. We're going to take a break. Stay with me.
Left his memory to the spend it on to remain strong.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Washington. Word is out that there is another serious espionage scandal in the making at the Pentagon. An investigation is now underway in the Defense Intelligence Agency that reportedly involves Chinese-American employees. It's believed that some of those workers have ties to the Chinese Intelligence Agency and may have passed American military secrets to the Chinese. This news comes on the heels of the espionage scandal that found analyst Larry Franklin passing information to members of the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee. And Dateline New York. Former UN weapons inspector Scott Ritter said in an interview last week he wouldn't be surprised if this administration stooped so low as to stage a terror attack to try and gain back waning support for the war effort in Iraq and Afghanistan. Ritter said there was a comparison between the Bush and Nixon administration in the fact that Nixon used America's nuclear capabilities as a threat against Russia in the Middle East in the middle of the Watergate scandal. Ritter went on to say that when an administration like the one currently in office becomes embattled and feels threatened, they develop a siege mentality where everyone becomes the enemy. He also said the Bush administration would also like to take out the regime in Syria as a favor to Israel, and thinks it would be easy enough to do. He said one way to make it happen would be to stage a terrorist attack and then blame it on the Syrians. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Did you know that you can have the Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System installed by United Homecraft and eliminate gutter cleaning forever? In fact, they guarantee it. The best part is Leaf Blocker installs over your existing gutters. If your gutters are damaged and need to be replaced, United Homecraft can do that too. With one phone call, you can stay off that dangerous ladder, stop cleaning the mess from your gutters, and start enjoying yourself this fall. The Leaf Blocker system will also keep you from spending thousands of dollars in repairs to your home from water damage. Call United Homecraft today for a free, no-obligation estimate and save 15% during their preseason sale. From Missouri or Illinois, call 1-888-731-2052. That's 1-888-731-2052. The Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System from United Homecraft, one of St. Louis's oldest and largest contractors. United Homecraft is a participating member of the ITEX Trade Exchange. Your ITEX trade dollars are welcome.
Hi, folks. This is Decent Guy Don, Ace Black helicopter pilot, your certified conspiracy hunter and all-around decent person. If you want to hear 3 hours of rock'em sock'em beat up on the New World Order crowd, tune in here at WGNU, 9:20 a.m. every Wednesday, 10 o'clock in the morning. We do a no razzmatazz, brass knuckles war on the New World Order crowd. Their house of cards is about to come crashing down, my friends. Come listen to the thunderous crash as we pull the linchpin from the fragile ivory towers of the neocons and insiders in Camp Run Amok every Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. with Decent Guy Don at WGNU, 9:20 a.m., Radio Free St. Louis. Stay tuned.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you. Thursday morning at 7, our wake-up call guest will be Larry Johnson, former CIA intelligence officer and co-worker of Valerie Plame, whose outing by someone in the Bush administration threatens to shake the White House to the core. He recently had some harsh words about the president's handling of the entire matter.
We must put to bed the lie that she was not undercover. If she had not been undercover, then the CIA would not have referred the matter to the Justice Department. The president has flip-flopped on his promise to fire anyone at the White House implicated in a leak.
Don't miss Larry Johnson on the Wake Up Call Thursday morning at 7. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Tricks, man, he good at deceiving. Only if I knew that Bush was the real terrorist and he knew Bin Laden was plotting to kill America.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. I'm Liz Brown. This is the music, the bumpers. This morning are brought to us courtesy of Marlon Gray. We're going to get to some more of our callers here. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. Kevin, good morning.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
You know what? Marlon, Mr. Gray, he said challenge the system. He said I was empowered. He was challenging that system until the day he died.
That's right.
So
that's
when
right.
That woman tells I understand because she sounds like a grandma. I understand because I had a grandmother like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the males and some, well, I don't know, I had some, it was the women who were the most aggressive. But the women in my family all told me to challenge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we need to challenge the police when
I
they pull
so.
You over.
I think so, too.
We need, we got to stop cowtown because they kill you anyway. I mean, they're killing us. Anyway, you know, they're setting you up anyway. And if you don't challenge them, you have, I can give you an example. I know two people who are in my family, young men. They got pulled over by the police. One of them fled. And the other one stayed there. He got 10 years. And the one that ran went and got a lawyer and got no years. So, mm-hmm. I don't know.
All right.
All right, have a good day.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Elaine.
Yes. Hi, Liz. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Elaine?
Oh, fine. I was calling because I listen to other radio stations, and I hear people of the white persuasion talking about we're always pulling out the race card.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, they're blinded of the fact that there is still racism here in this United States.
Okay, well,
I'll give you the fact. I live next door to a guy who is white, and he doesn't like me, and I haven't done anything to this man. I am in my 50s. He one day got out of his van and called me the N-word for no reason. And he just kept saying it. Well, he said in the B word. And reaching down as if he was pulling up a gun. So I came in the house and called the police. And as I was calling them, he went to my back window, and he was trying to provoke me to come out the house. Now, my husband wasn't here. So when the white policeman came, he went next door to talk to the man. And he came back within an hour. It took my whole hour. And he said he didn't do it. I'm like, what? Well, I was
what
over
community
there. He was using some words.
What community was this?
In Berkeley.
Mm.
He said he was using some words. But it probably was because he was drunk. But I'm not trying to give him any excuses.
Mm.
I'm like, uh-huh.
All right now.
I said, so what about the gun? Well, he said he didn't have a gun. I said, I've seen the man out there on the back porch shooting at squirrels with something. And it wasn't his finger. And I have a 12-year-old daughter.
So what happened as a result of this?
The policeman flipped the script on me, and he told me that I should not put my trash out before 7 o'clock, which it was out at 6. And I have other white neighbors who were putting their trash out earlier than that.
All right.
And he has a lot of complaints about you, about the rap music coming out your house. I'm like, rap?
And I'm sorry, Elaine. I've got to go to some of our other callers, but I know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're saying. There is what card is there for people of African descent to pull out and use to their advantage?
Right.
The only race card that exists is the one where the white race is used to an unearned privilege and an advantage,
mm-hmm.
simply because of the color of their skin.
Mm-hmm.
Got to roll. Thank you, Elaine.
Oh, thanks.
First time caller, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Oh, you know what? I just want to say this is the first time ever calling in. And the thing is, I'm a mover, and I listened to you for years, and you're an inspiration to me.
Well, thank you.
Yes, you are. And the reason why I'm calling in, I hope someone else can call in on this. Maybe they've heard it. I was watching CNN, and they took a poll of 50 states, of all the 50 states and the police departments. And I want somebody else to probably heard this to call in to verify this, so they don't think that I'm joking. But they said St. Louis police were the most dumbest, the most ignorant as far as making the mistakes out of all the police departments.
When did you see this?
About a year ago.
Huh.
Yeah, and I hope somebody can call in and verify that. And when they said that, I said, you know what? I thought about things and the things they went through, and especially with Marlon Gray here. I mean, this was just... They couldn't get a confession, so...
They beat everybody. They beat everybody.
See?
Paid the white guy $150,000 and beat the other men into the death row.
Oh, my goodness. Now, see what I mean?
Yes. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks for having
me.
All
right. 454-0400 is my phone number. Deneen?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, we have 3 minutes here. Quickly, please.
Okay. I'm calling from my car, so I'm hoping, you know, I don't get disconnected.
Yes, ma'am.
I've heard everybody call this morning about whether or not Marlon Gray was innocent or guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that doesn't matter to me. My brother was killed, and the young man who killed him was not taken to trial because there was really not enough evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they had, it really wouldn't have mattered to me. It would have mattered, but I would not have wanted this young man to get the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I would be in a situation like this because I've always opposed the death penalty, but I never thought that I would be in a position of whether or not I'd have to choose based on a family member being killed.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we to decide if a person should live or die? You know,
that's for God.
To me, sentencing someone to death is not a form of punishment. Punishment should be something that you learn from, you learn a lesson, you know, and hopefully some way you can make up for whatever mistake that you made. But death is so final. You can't come back from that.
Death is so final, and humans are so flawed. So you can't give an ultimate solution to people that don't have the ultimate intellect. And
exactly.
the ultimate motives. I want to thank you so much, Deneen, for sharing that with us. I appreciate it. Take care. Car phone.
Hi, Liz.
Yes.
I just wanted to point out that the ACLU is starting a program of doing Know Your Rights workshops. And I think they're beginning to that program around the Fairgrounds Park neighborhood. And I think that really that's the answer to how people can react when they're harassed by police. Is if they really know their rights, they don't have to be disrespectful. You know, you can talk nicely but firmly to cops and say, these are my rights.
Thank you,
you know,
John.
Then what you can assert is your rights and not have to get into an ego or, you know, macho thing with them.
Thank you, John. And, John, I'm going to put you on hold so you can leave your number for a caller that wants to get a hold of the police crimes against repression. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
This is Liz Brown. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Today to get a look at the hurricane damage. FEMA, now a division of Homeland Security. A number of local officials want to know why it's taking so long for FEMA to get supplies to thousands of people. It's expected to be another day of long lines. ABC's Alex Stone is in Naples.
The mandatory curfew has been lifted. Lines are once again growing.